The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
The quarterback, two receivers lined up to the left, one to the right. There's a flanker lined up to the left behind the quarterback.
Okay.
He gives the ball. No, he doesn't. He doesn't get the ball. The receiver goes all the way over there to the left. Once the quarterback has the ball, he fakes to the left. No, he fakes to the right. He doesn't fake. He thinks about faking. He pretends to fake.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
It's not like you could use a shower. Oh, listen. You can think what you want about my personal hygiene, but please don't waste any water. That's bad policy.
Paul Perillo.
So that's what opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.
And Andy. And Andy?
There, girl, you're seeing.
Seeing? I see a lot of girls. I see a lot of guys, too.
I think that's sexy. You ever been with a guy and a girl at the same time?
Oh, yeah, plenty of times. The other night, I was with my mama and Coach Klein at the same time.
Andy Hart.
And I like Vicky, and she likes me back. And she showed me her boobies, and I like them too.
Eric Scalavino.
I want you to think about all those mean people. They're going to be your tackling fuel.
Tackling fuel.
We're going to use them to play football.
Tackling fuel.
For now, anyway.
Ooh, I'm a football player.
Coach, I'd like to tackle him right now, please.
Not yet.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh, no! We suck again!
Welcome in to PFW in Progress for a Wednesday afternoon. I'm very glad to see Andy Hart, and I haven't really said that in a long time because up until about 30 seconds ago, he was not here, and we were about to embark on another one of those disastrous solo shows with Paul Perillo flying the ship by himself. No Fred Kirsch today. Eric will be by later. He has Bill Belichick's press conference, which is imminent, and then practice, and he'll stop by. But Andy is here after being out of the office this morning, so we will not have to bore you with Northeastern basketball talk or conference realignment discussion around the nation. Although, to be quite honest, Andy, there's not a terrible amount of Patriots news to really discuss. Just kind of retracing our steps from yesterday, we talked a little bit about Jermaine Cunningham's situation and whether or not he'd be out. Well, I think later on in the day, you sort of get a little bit of an update on that, because it's not often that you get a talented pass rusher who becomes available. If, in fact, Chandler Jones, we talked a lot about Chandler Jones being key to that Cunningham suspension. If Chandler Jones isn't ready to go, Jason Babin might not be a bad fill-in if you can work that out. Now, he has to clear waivers, and no word yet on where that process stands. I haven't heard anybody has made a claim. I don't expect the Patriots will. I don't expect him to be claimed, period. He's owed a pretty significant amount of money, but interested?
Sure. Pass rusher, depth. I think they, A, needed it all year long, but now, you know, B, with the injury situation, the suspension situation. In fact, somebody I saw on Twitter tweeted me, like, you know, I wish Andre Carter were still a free agent. Well, you got a guy that's, you know, been far more productive lately than Andre Carter, 18 sacks a year ago, and even this year.
12 and a half the year
five
before
and a half
that
sacks.
Was Tennessee as
well. Well, I'd go to 5.5.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Everybody's all excited that Chandler Jones has six and Rob Ninkovich has six. Well, this guy's got 5.5. So, you know, it's not quite even the debacle that, say, Ray Edwards was. This is a guy that's been somewhat productive even this year.
Yeah, I brought up the Tennessee 12.5 because I think there's, you know, people are looking at the way Philadelphia plays defense. It's a little different than what, you know, that whole wide nine stuff that they talked about with Juan Castillo and whether or not he'd be able to fit. Well, it was a different system in Tennessee that he had about 60 tackles and 12.5 sacks, I think, in 2010.
Babin actually said he'll only come here if they make Dante Scarnecchia the defensive coordinator.
Right. That was a prerequisite. So I thought the Babin situation, that which came out after our show yesterday, the fact that he got released in Philadelphia, I thought that was interesting. And
I didn't read a lot about it. Is it just a money move, just going in a new direction? They're just tearing it down starting now?
I think that they're tearing it down starting now. Okay. I think they wanted to get some younger guys. They have a second-round pick, Vinny Curry, kid from Marshall maybe?
Yep.
I believe that he has been inactive more often than not. They wanted to get him some time. You remember, you know, back to our conversation during the summer with our buddy Dave Spadaro from Eagles.com.
About the greatest defensive historic line in the history of the game.
Historic, I believe you called it.
Not quite Reggie White, but pretty close.
But pretty close. They had a lot of depth, and they do have a lot of different pieces. Evidently, some of those were blocking the way for some younger players to talk, and looks like Babin was odd man out here. And he is owed, you know, decent. I think if you claimed him, it was something, I want to say, $1.6 million remaining this year. So that's a significant piece. Plus, he's under contract for two more years at decent money. I wouldn't expect him, I certainly wouldn't expect the Patriots to claim him, and I'm not sure that he'll get claimed, period.
Certainly an interesting name.
There are always teams that, I mean, that's, you know, it's like the stretch driver of a pennant race in baseball. You pick up a good arm, you know, pick up a pass rush for the playoffs. So.
Pass rusher, cover guy, absolutely. Those types of things are, I wouldn't be stunned if he were picked up. Because
no,
of that,
I would,
that
no,
value
I,
of
I wouldn't
that
be,
position.
I wouldn't be stunned. I'm just not expecting it, that's all.
And there are teams that still have money floating around, and I wouldn't be stunned if a team, you know, the Bengals or somebody just says, I can add another impact player,
sure.
And boom, I'm getting it.
Yeah, and it's and you can look at it and say, okay, I'll pick him up for the 1.6 this year.
And I'll cut him.
Yeah, and if I don't want him after that, I can cut him. I don't have to worry about the balance of the deal. But interesting to see how that will play out, and maybe we'll find out as early as this afternoon. I doubt we'll hear anything while we're on the air, but maybe if someone claims them, you know, that word will spread, and you guys will probably let us know. Again, webradio@patriots.com, easiest way to participate in PFW in Progress, webradio@patriots.com. You can also give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. And looking for some phone calls today because I don't like reading the emails.
So don't send emails, just call.
Yeah, I'm looking for some.
Don't put it in writing, just call and tell us what
you think. We do have some that have already come in. We'll get to those in a bit. But I thought the Babin situation was, number one on the agenda.
So he would come here potentially and squish the playing time of a third-round pick. Because I assume if you add a guy like Babin, that keeps Beckett from advancing due to any injuries or suspensions. And that might be an interesting aspect on that. And, you know, I did notice yesterday when Bill Belichick was talking about getting through the suspension and how it might work, and he said, well, you know, we can either bring somebody out from the practice squad who's not here or sign somebody who's not, you know, and that whole thing. But he did. He listed everybody. And just in his mind, now for whatever it's worth, Justin Francis, Jake came last, sort of the way we've talked about it, that Jake Beckett is kind of
the
last in line.
Well, because he has that chart in his head, too, just
right,
like we do.
Right. But, you know, I thought it was interesting, the order they come off his brain, so to speak.
Yeah.
To me, the big story of the day, and I know it's being shot down by everybody, is this John Gruden thing where supposedly Tennessee, the college, University of Tennessee, he's going to become their head coach
and
pick up ownership stake in the Browns because, you know, that guy Haslam has ties to, he owns the Browns and he has ties to Tennessee.
Jimmy Haslam. Yeah.
Is there anybody more overrated than John Gruden? I mean, we're just going to give him an ownership stake?
This is funny.
These coaches are so utterly overrated.
You guys know how I am not the big.
You know Robert's statement, owners own and renters rent?
Yeah.
Well, don't let them become owners. They're renters. You own. It's like these owners are so desperate that they're willing to sell out for these quasi-good coaches.
The whole thing with
I mean, you're not getting Vince Lombardi like this 10-time champion or something. It's John freaking Gruden.
You just go off on these things. It's so funny.
Oh, these coaches get more and more overrated by the day.
I think
what would a
longer,
real coach like Bill Belichick get when he hit the open market?
I think the longer some of those guys stay out, suddenly their value is you know, Bill Cowher and
he'd be up there overrated if anybody offers him ownership
stake.
Yeah,
you know, these guys get...
What have they ever done?
It's like they're better and better the longer they're out. You
especially
know,
Cowher. Cowher would be more overrated because he did it in one place where everybody does it.
Yeah.
And really
did
didn't
both,
do it.
They did both win Super Bowls, but
He did it in a place where everybody wins Super Bowls. Mike Tomlin rolled right in and won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't think...
He didn't pick the talent. He had Dick LeBeau doing all the defense. Bill Cowher was a spit and jag.
I didn't think that either one of them was
at least you can argue... that Gruden finished it and brought two teams to the Super Bowl, essentially. You know, he built the Raiders up as a part there, and then he goes and takes good talent and finishes the job in Tampa. But, I mean, other than that, young quarterbacks, he's been a debacle. He's never been able to get along with quarterbacks. He has, next-in-line quarterback. He always wants the other guy. And people are just going to give him an ownership stake? The most valuable sports industry in the world, the NFL, this guy just paid... I don't even know what he paid. I'm sure it was over $1 billion for the Browns. And he's just going to give him a stake. Yeah, you're great. Go coach my college and here's a stake. And that's the dumbest part. He gives him a stake in the Browns to improve a college. What?
Yeah.
If you're going to hire him and give him a stake, I don't think it's legal, but have him coach the Browns and make that into a winner, your actual business.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, what I was getting to, how I just am so inept with Twitter and all this stuff. Like, I don't really read it that closely, but I saw the item. Someone sent something over on Twitter and said that Haslam was interested in giving Gruden an ownership stake. I didn't see really the Tennessee part. I was like, oh, they want to bring him into – that's kind of odd. They want to bring him to coach the Browns, and part of the package to entice him is he's going to get an ownership stake in the team. That's kind of – what happens when you have to fire – you know, turns out that I missed the very important part of it, that it was for
then
Tennessee.
You saw Tennessee and were like, why is he going to give him an ownership stake to coach the Titans? That makes no sense.
But, you know –
then you got it.
You know, like, what do you
also
do
think
when
it's
you
illegal.
Have to fire a guy, you know?
I don't think they allow it in the NFL, do they?
What, a coach?
To have ownership stake?
Why not?
I don't know. I just feel like it's not allowed.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going back, obviously, before there would be any such rules, if they do exist, but George Halas. I don't know if the rules have changed.
I'm talking about, you know, in the modern era of football. Yes, I know Paul Brown created the Browns.
Oh, no, but this is a lot more recent than that.
Not all that recent. You're showing your age a little bit.
No, well, no, it's not in my lifetime. It's not showing my age. I'm just saying.
They let George Halas and Paul Brown do it. Why can't John Gruden?
Well, I to be honest with you, I don't have a single reason as to why that
I
would
don't.
Be not allowed.
Well,
it doesn't make any sense from an owner's. Like, for Robert to say to Bill, I'm going to give you an ownership stake, doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever from a business perspective. But I don't see why it's a competitive disadvantage or advantage to the rest of the league.
Well,
I don't know if it's
more of a business thing. Like, it's the whole, they didn't want to go down the slippery slope of the coaches that the Patriots were such a big part of, all these trades that Gruden was a part of. They nixed that, right? You're no longer allowed to do that because they didn't like the precedent that it was setting and where it was going. And I think it would be the same. Well, first of all, you'd have to then have the other owners approve it, because aren't all ownership changes in the NFL, don't they have to be voted upon? Wasn't that the whole Rush Limbaugh thing?
Though. Jimmy Haslam would still be the majority owner of the Cleveland
Browns. Oh, it's only majority owner that gets voted on? I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I thought if you wanted to be an owner,
there's a lot
NFL.
Of minority owners that no one ever even knows.
No, I thought they were all voted on.
You might be right that it's illegal. I have no idea. I don't have that.
It's stupid. I don't know if it's illegal. It's definitely stupid.
Yeah. Oh, we're lockstep.
Especially
on. I don't see
as
what
I
gain.
Said.
What do you
I
gain?
Could see you arguing it for Bill Belichick. The guy's dominated the league for a decade.
But
John
what happens
Gruden's
that
a Super Bowl winning Jag
What happens
coach.
That day that Robert wants to part ways for whatever reason.
Well, maybe he still gets his ownership.
Maybe that day never comes, but it doesn't it become a little bit
it's
messier.
It's like CEOs that get canned. They still have stock in the company.
I think that becomes messy. It doesn't make any sense to me. And I agree with you with Gruden. What has Gruden done? What is, you know, why would he be looked upon as some kind
grinder.
Of special Paul,
this
Paul
guy.
Brown type guy?
This guy.
With, you know leaving Cleveland this to found the Bengals or whatever, you know, in the 60s.
Trent Richardson. Yeah, this running back. This
you're really,
guy.
You're really down on him.
No, I kind of like him, but his image has gotten – he's kind of like the J.E.T.S., Ed the Fireman. The image has gotten much grander than the substance.
Kevin, are you sure we're up and running here?
Oh, Jesus.
We got some problems.
Christ, superstar.
We got problems.
What else is new?
Absolutely.
The technology and the monkeys continue to fail to keep up with the talent.
I do want to correct one thing. Yesterday I was talking a lot about the bye situation and the tiebreakers. I had it right originally. Should not have done the research that I had Eric do. Three-way tie for the bye. The first, obviously it goes head-to-head first if one team had
beaten
the other two.
So a try-bye? Try-bye.
You know, the head-to-head sweep and all that stuff. And then it goes to games in the conference, winning percentage of the games in the conference before it goes to winning percentage of common opponents. The common opponents goes before conference in a division tiebreaker, not in a bye tiebreaker for a wild card or for teams outside of a division. So just wanted to get that all straightened out. What else you got, Andy Hart? That's a good solid 14 minutes. We got no Fred Kirsch to get us going on a
I'm listening to
a
straight man live, so I think we're fine.
All right, well, Kevin thinks we're fine. That really
he
settles,
always thinks we're fine.
That settles me down immensely.
And Chris Ferreira always think we're fine.
You can see my screen. I'm listening.
My
to
guess
you
is that there's
a 10-second delay.
My guess is there's a Belichick press
there
conference
is, and that's
either
the
going right now.
Rightfully so. And he boots us for half an hour.
Yeah, and I'm guessing that's where the problem is. So.
So people can't hear us. They hear Bill,
or
they
no, they can. But they're not choice. Putting on the right place.
Oh,
it's like in the post game show. You know how we have the live feed. You don't know?
I've never clicked on the postgame show.
Well, we have a live feed for all the press conference.
Unfortunately, Andy and I have a variety of crap to take care of.
Understood.
After games.
But we have, there's two, like, streams. They have a live feed for all the pressers.
You don't want to cross the streams.
And then they have the postgame show, so you get to choose on which one you want. Sometimes people just click the first one, and they're like, why isn't your show on the air?
I see.
See, now I lied. I said if Fred were here, we'd have a nice solid tangent to go off on, and you guys took care of that very nicely.
Okay,
no Fred today, though. I'm a little concerned.
Where is he? Is he dead?
No, he told us yesterday he wouldn't be on site today.
Quote, his Christmas decorating?
I won't be on site. No, I don't know. I don't know where he is. I don't know what's going on.
He's a mysterious man.
You think of the steroid situation for baseball coming up for the Hall of Fame. Some big names, Andy. Big juicers.
By who?
Oh, Bonds and Clemens will be up. First time on the ballot.
Okay. They're not going to get in, but...
No. Do you think they'll get 20%?
Yes.
30?
I think they will get a good... What's the highest percentage so far of a steroid user?
Well, it depends on who you consider a steroid user.
One who used steroids.
Yeah, but like Jeff Bagwell?
Yeah.
He's in the 50s, but he's not considered a steroid user.
Oh.
That's why I
think
said,
they'll be
I'm
up
with
there.
You. I'm with you lockstep on Jeff Bagwell, but I don't think that he's really been implicated.
Okay, but
officially.
I think they'll be up there because I think they're the guys who are considered great before they use steroids, great after, great no matter what. I think they're still not going to get in, but I think they'll be very, very high.
Do you happen to catch any of Bill Romanowski today on WEBS?
A little bit, yes. Now, he's a steroid user, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Is he like an open steroid user? The way the interview was going, I was like, does he pretend he didn't use steroids?
Yeah, he kind of does, doesn't he?
And I thought it was out there. Like, I thought he was like an open.
Yeah, I thought that was a weird thing and very naive as well. For a guy who clearly knows a lot about nutritions and supplements and natural minerals and all this stuff and their effects and advantages, disadvantages with the body, very naive, you know, to think that you can't be masking anything or hiding anything. Or like John and Jerry kept saying to him, the testers are ahead of behind the cheaters.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you can look past that. And this is a guy who was directly involved with Victor Conti,
right,
to use your guy from yesterday, that your idol, Victor Conti.
Whoa, whoa.
Head of Balco.
Don't believe I ever made that leap.
I just thought it was interesting. He talked a lot about having to use a lot of stuff. Felt like he couldn't play without a lot of things. When he played.
Not surprised.
How do you play linebacker for 250 consecutive games? Well, there's a reason.
London Fletcher.
Yeah, no, that's another reason. Did he end up missing that game or no? He ended up playing?
I think so.
Yeah, he's even more impressive in a lot of ways with his size. He's just so small, how he's been able to hold up.
So an undersized Division III linebacker comes to the NFL and plays 200 straight games. Nothing suspect there.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. It's even more ridiculous. There's a guy who probably came into the NFL with people doubting whether or not he could play, and he plays 250 straight games,
yeah,
or whatever it is. So we're looking for some phone calls. I put it out there early, Andy.
No one's calling because you don't want to read.
I'm getting emails, and I don't want emails. I want calls. 508-298-0398. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Web radio at patriots.com, and people say that they are listening, so...
Okay, good.
Evidently.
I'm glad it's not just us talking and pretending people are listening.
Kevin has done
something.
It's mostly
just user error, you know, Andy.
I want to thank Josh in Charlottesville for letting us know. He is listening live right now because I can now watch all of the press conferences on the new Desk Site app I downloaded yesterday. What's that called, Andy?
Desk Site app.
Okay. Desk Site app. Okay.
Why'd you ask me?
I thought it was one of those Patriot Football Daily things that...
Oh, no, this is a new one. I saw it on the site yesterday.
Okay.
This
really,
is something, yeah, different.
I'm emailing in to get your opinion on something. What do you think of bringing in Babin as an additional pass rusher and maybe releasing Scott? Babin is a beast, and I think he could do well opposite of Ninko and Jones when he gets healthy. What do you think? I always love the show. You guys do a great job.
Well, I'm not sure you need to release Scott to bring in Babin. I'm certainly all for it, as I said at the start. Kick his tires, do whatever you need to do, work him out. You know, I'm not sure I wouldn't claim him. I mean, if I have interest, the $1.6 million would not keep me from claiming him. And, you know, I saw Greg Bedard sort of theorizing they may also include, is he going to make somebody else better? Do we not want to make somebody else better? Is that part of our thinking in claiming him? That I don't agree with. What I agree with is, does he make you better? Can you use him? Is he a value to your team? And if that's the case, then I go get him. I claim him. I put, you know, I'll pay the 1.6.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, what? Why? I mean, I saw Baltimore was one of the teams that people were sort of speculating might be interested. I don't want him to go to Baltimore if I'm the Patriots, because I think he could help Baltimore, but I'm not going to claim him to keep him from going to Baltimore. That doesn't make any sense.
Right. Yeah. No, if I claim him, it's for me, and I don't think it's that much money if you think he can play. Now, if he's a rotational backup, if he and Justin Francis are the same, then yes, that's a lot of money for, what is it now, five games left.
Yeah, and I don't know.
You know, that's a $4.5 million salary over the course of a season. Are you going to get that value out of it? I don't know. But if you think he can help you, I go get him.
What do you think he has left? What do you think the Patriots have in the under the cap? I'm not sure with that. I know they have the space, because I saw someone tweeted out there's only four teams that wouldn't have the space to do this.
Yeah, I thought they had a decent amount of room left for that type of a move.
I don't know. That was an axe.
But I'm interested. And Scott, you know, I thought it was interesting. Bill kind of talked about him yesterday and his versatility and coverage and special teams and, you know, linebacker like Ninkovich and everything. They like him. You know, I haven't seen him really do anything that said, I need to have this guy on my team.
Not on defense, certainly.
But
I agree.
I don't think they would cut him. You know, it might be like a Jake Beckett to IR type move.
You wouldn't have to.
You wouldn't have to. But I'm just saying, if you made a move, I'm not sure Scott would be the guy.
Because, you know, they'd have at least four. I mean, my guess is they would have about 4 weeks. I mean, at least one, if they claimed him now, because Bolden and Cunningham are both suspended. Now, maybe when Bolden's suspension is up next week, if you wanted to reactivate him, you'd have to make. But you've been saying this all year. I think there are candidates.
Oh, there's Gorda at the bottom of the roster.
There's candidates to cut. So I don't necessarily think that would be a huge thing. I asked, and you guys delivered. Mike, Canadian Mike, is in Florida, and he's going to lead us off today on PFW in Progress.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up,
Mike?
Good. First time I called. I email all the time, but I figured it's about time I give you a call, especially since you were
I was begging.
Especially since Paul was down on his knees begging.
What do you got?
Well, as far as Babbitt is concerned, you know, why not? What do we have to lose? I mean, what's another body? Do you guys actually think that he gave up over in Philly, or is it just a matter of, well, this team sucks and, you know,
I think about 53 players gave up in Philly. I think that was a debacle.
Are you asking about Babin or the team?
No, well.
Because Babin, really, I think, played okay. I thought Andy made a good point. He's got 5.5 sacks.
But I think that entire team has been.
Yes, but I'm not necessarily.
Swimming upstream.
I'm not pointing that as the reason why he was released, that they felt like he wasn't putting out. I don't think that's.
You know. Putting out.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, I'd have to change topics a little bit here. As far as, you know, Bill Belichick, he always gives us the impression that he doesn't really care what anybody thinks as far as anything is concerned. But do you guys think that maybe all the talk about not putting teams away has something to do with leaving the players in there till the end of the game? I mean, the only way for me right now to say that the Patriots can close a game is to basically keep their not only their starters in, but specifically on offense, keep their offensive starters in. And that's how basically you're going to close out every game. It's not necessarily with your defense, but with your offense on the field.
No, I think he's done this all along in various types of teams. And I just think it's his philosophy that, you know, he said it simple. Football players play football, and that's just the way he looks at it. And he looks at these games and says, you know, if they get an interception and two onside, you know, they could be back in this game. I don't really think it has anything to do with this year's team.
Yeah, I agree. And I also think that if you play the way the Patriots have played in the first three quarters of the last two games, that's finishing off an opponent. Like, you don't have to go out there in the fourth quarter and put another touchdown out there to finish them off. I mean, you have a 35-0 lead, you finished off the opponent. That's what people were looking for. But I agree with Andy.
As far as stats are concerned, do you think that bothers Bill to, I mean, he's supposedly the, you know, the defensive guru. Do you think that, you know, again, keeping them until the end, well, you know, I got to pad my numbers to look a little bit better on defense. Otherwise, you know, I'm not going to be considered this defensive guru anymore.
No. I mean, I think Bill has an ego, and I think anyone who says he doesn't is crazy, but I don't think he looks at it oh, I got to do certain stat things in the fourth quarter for my, and I think if you asked him, he would point to things and say, my defense is pretty good. You know, he would say, well, we're leading the NFL in takeaways. You know, this is what we do every year. We make big plays. Our scoring defense is knocking on the door of the top 10. You know, so I think he would point to stuff like that. I don't think he says, you know, I got to put up some numbers in the fourth quarter to improve our ranking in any of those categories.
Right, right. Well, that's all I got, guys. But I will be at the game in Miami, obviously, being in Florida. So looking forward to that, and hopefully they come through with another blowout.
All right, Mike.
Enjoy.
Thanks.
They could. They could blow the Dolphins out,
oh,
certainly.
I'm certainly leaning that way right now. It's a, you know, and just a slight correction. They're number two in takeaways behind Chicago.
Sorry.
One behind. But the way they've been taking the ball away and the way Tannehill has been turning it over, to me, would seem to line up for another one of those games where, you know, you got the Patriots offense on a roll and then the defense chips in with some favorable field position, if not a score of its own. Yeah, I think it is sort of trending toward another blowout. You want to read some limericks?
Sure.
You like those, huh?
Well, some of them.
The Wilson Heart Index can confound those accustomed to logic, that sound. Often teams lose, although up the rankings they'll go. But when your team wins, they'll move down.
You're an idiot. Those limericks suck.
I thought that was a poignant limerick.
Stupid.
So much so that I'm going to read another one.
And do some research and see how many times that's actually happened, that a team lost and went up and won and went down.
A sports writer returned all abuzz from a trip to London all because he claimed he'd been smitten by a girl in Britain who we strongly suspect never was.
Now that one's good.
That's good stuff.
Now he got his A game. The first one was lame, but that one brought his A game.
There's another one here. There was a candidate named Mitt who said he did not give a about the parasite poor, so now we've got four more years of sucking the government boob.
Tit?
Yes.
I think you can go teet there and get away with it.
Well, you can say anything
meat
you want.
Meat and teet.
Because that's what you do. Interesting stuff with the turnovers, though. I think it's 32 they forced.
Yes.
Chicago's the only team with 33 that has more. And you and I talked about this yesterday. It's our argument that's going to be seen on the Patriots PFW TV show on Comcast on Thursday night. We're back in our normal slot, I believe. Is that correct?
I believe that is accurate. Celtics tonight.
So we have that going for us. And you and I sort of talked about it. I think there's a chance, Andy, and I know that it sort of runs counter to what I normally think. I think there's a chance they could keep this going. And the reason I think that is because I think there have been fewer of those just absolute giveaway turnovers that they've gotten this year than they normally do. And they've been a good takeaway team the last 3 years, despite the fact that their defense hasn't been great. I think there's been, you know, and I don't have anything but anecdotal evidence to go on. I don't have the facts or the analysis. I don't have
You're
an analysis.
A politician. I don't have the facts to go.
I don't have an analysis of every takeaway they've had over the last 3 years to say this is true. But it seems to me they've caused more turnovers this year than they have in the past when they've simply been the recipients of Kyle Arrington catching the ball and whatnot. Do you feel there's any validity to that, or you think I'm just completely out of left field?
I'm not sure. I don't feel as strongly about it as you do. I feel like there's been a lot of gifts this season.
There have. There have.
And I feel like
out
another season there were a lot of plays, too. I don't know. You know, is it 60-40 2 years ago and then 50-50 this year? I don't know. I think they're kind of in the middle. I don't think they force all of them, and they're not all gifts, but I think it's been that way all along. But, I mean, you know, I yelled at you for the Talib interception against Andrew Luck.
That's you know, the only thing you yelled at me about.
Or the Mark Sanchez sliding into a butt. Those are just pure giveaways.
Yeah,
there's nothing forced about those.
I just feel, and again, I don't have the analysis of every one. I feel like there have been fewer of those than they have in the past. And there's been more forced fumbles. That's the big thing is fumbles. And that can kind of work both ways. Because a fumble, first you have to make... You can make the same hit on a fumble and not cause a fumble. Like you didn't do anything differently, but the guy just happens to hold on to the ball. So that's number one, which makes fumbles sort of a tenuous way to live. Number two, when the ball's loose, you don't always get it. Mm-hmm. And the Patriots are getting a lot of them right now. And that just as easily can work the other way. For instance, in the Super Bowl against the Giants, Brandon Spikes, who's caused a lot of fumbles here this season, caused a fumble in the Super Bowl. And there were several Patriots around to get it, and it ended up not being a fumble because of that penalty. And
he is the one reason I might agree with your theory, because
he hasn't played.
He always forces fumbles, and he's played more this year than the previous two.
Yeah,
but so that may be a fact. But like Rob Ninkovich, I think he's forced fumbles the last few years. Chandler Jones has certainly added to that, but you had some last year from Carter, and I don't know if Anderson did. He probably did. So I think it's similar. And it's why I think some fans are concerned, because I did compare it, you know, to that 2010 season when you led the NFL in takeaways, you led the NFL in turnover ratio, and then you get to the postseason and you didn't force a single one, and the Jets beat you at home, and Mark Sanchez had a good day, and they ran the ball, and you lose. So that's a concern.
You like to talk about the headlines a lot, you know, the covers, cover words. Right?
Oh, yes. Thanks for giving. Dirty Sanchez.
Well, Paul Patriot from L.A., not to be confused with Paulie in L.A.
The famous actor.
Right. Says that he saw Thanksgiving. He thought a better headline would have been Jets Giving or Pats Giving.
I don't love it.
I don't like either one of them. I think Thanksgiving was better.
But he buys us lunch every month, so I love it.
So I think Patsgiving was phenomenal. Job. And just for that, he wonders, this is an email to Kevin, he wonders if we had ever read the previous question that he sent. So even if we had, I'm going to read it again because he buys lunch. Talking about Brady not looking as comfortable as we are used to seeing him in the pocket this year, he has some jitters and feels phantom pressure at times compared to, let's say, 2007 and 2010 when he had his best statistical season. Did you notice how ridiculously good the O-line protection was during those seasons, especially in 07? There were many times where he would drop back and literally just stand still with both feet planted as he surveyed the field.
Brady pitches a tent.
The protection was that good. I remember marveling at how much time he would have to throw in 07, how comfortable they made him feel back there. This year, the protection has been inconsistent, so he is expecting to get harassed more. Maybe that is why he's more jittery this season than the last few, he says, as like Ron Burgundy.
I'm not sure it's more than the last few.
Brady pitching a tent back there.
I don't think he has lost a step. I think that he has been spoiled by the awesome O-line play the past few years, and now he has had to adjust. If you give him the identical protection right now as the past few years, I think he would look just as he did in 7 or 10.
I think the protection's been pretty good this year.
I think it's been spotty. I don't think it's been anywhere near as good as the amount of sacks would indicate.
I think it's been pretty good, and I think he's caused problems more than
he's fixed
them.
I think that's also accurate. I think he has caused some of his own problems.
Like, I can't even – when was the last runaway rusher they had?
First play of the game Thursday night.
What was that? Describe it to me.
Intentional grounding. Guy ran right by Donald Thomas on Muhammad.
You remember that?
Oh, yeah. I do remember that.
I'm not being a smartass with that.
Well, no, you're always a smartass. No. And you're being yourself.
I think your larger point about runaway rushers is
like
accurate.
I also
said the same thing on the TV show.
You're right,
yesterday.
But I generally – I look at the outside, and that's probably why I wasn't recalling that one. And
I don't think there are a lot of runaway rushers with New England ever. And I think that's why I always credit Dante Scarnecchia.
But I definitely don't think this offensive line is any worse than recent offensive lines.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't see it.
I don't really either. I don't think it's been.
I think they've not been as good as their numbers going back 5 or 6 years.
And that I agree with.
And
I think Brady is largely responsible for the sack
right,
total.
Because when
down,
we criticize him, it's another thing we talk about that's comparing it to himself. I'm not comparing it to anybody else.
Right.
And he gets downgraded now because of his greatness at other times, just like everything else. When he throws his 14th interception, a lot of interceptions for Brady, every other quarterback would die for that.
Yeah,
when I see him,
fair point.
I expect a blindside rusher to come from his backside, and just as he's about to clean his clock, Brady just bends over, the guy dives over the top, he stands up and throws a touchdown. That's what I've come to expect from Brady. So when I see him react to a guy and pitter-patter around, I'm comparing it to himself. You know, I'm not comparing it to Matt Castle at the beginning of his season. Remember when how bad he was? He was a deer in headlights. He did that on every snap.
And that's what I'm talking about. It's the same offensive line, the same protection, and all of a sudden Matt Castle's going down three times as many times as Brady did the previous year.
And then all of a sudden Matt Castle wasn't when Matt Castle got better.
Because he got comfortable and they understand where the pressure's coming from and things change. But I absolutely believe that you're right.
But I don't, comparing it to him, I don't remember Brady anticipating the rush circa 2, 3, 4, 5. I feel like that's a thing in the last 5 or 6 years that has come in stretches, and I think in games. I've said this to you. I think sometimes in games it happens. He carries it over from one drive to the next, and then sometimes shakes it off.
We saw it a little bit in the playoff game. the 45 to 10 playoff game against Denver last year.
Mm-hmm.
There was a two-series stretch where he kind of got flushed through a pick, then got sacked, and then almost threw another pick. And it was like, this is one of those little stretches here where Brady's not really comfortable right now. He's not happy. He's not confident in what he's seeing and how he's reacting.
And by the way, Peyton Manning does it too.
Everybody does it.
Any quarterback you want to pick, they do it. You know, the difference between those two and some others is when they do it, they hop around in the middle of the field, and it's more noticeable. Others that do it sometimes
run.
Like Brian Hoyer will run, or Matt Cassel will run.
Yep.
And you go, you can't do that. You got to give it some time. Right. Whereas Brady and Manning hop around a little, and then they'll throw it into the ground or something.
And they have those quick feet.
So it just looks a little different.
They always call it the happy feet.
Right. They all have happy feet.
Yeah.
Every quarterback's ever played
is
that happy feet.
No quarterbacks like to stand in the pocket and wait for someone to come and decapitate them.
I got a quick question just to piggyback on your point, though.
What do you got?
And the listeners will probably just want to kill me.
I don't care.
But don't you feel like...
makes him
not only this year, but in years past, that a lot of Brady's throws that he gets away with, whether it be batted balls or forcing, don't you feel like he gets a little bit lucky?
Absolutely.
Not to have more picks?
Absolutely.
Like the one that jumps out in my mind is I think he had a ball the first drive in the Buffalo game this year, the last one at home, and the defenders just ran into each other and the ball dropped. I mean, I just feel like, you know, people
He's had
always,
a number of deflected passes this year that have not been intercepted.
People always
last
bang.
Year. A lot of those did get intercepted.
Get picked, yeah.
It's just how they work.
In the year before, they didn't. So it seems like, you know, on and off. But it just seems like a lot of these years where he ends up with single-digit picks, it's like, man, he could have had like 15, 20 picks.
Yeah, and I'm
I
sure
agree with that.
That's another thing I think Andy's probably going to – go ahead.
Well, I agree with that. You see it all the time. When he threw the four picks, you say, I mean, there was a game he could have thrown four or five. But when you do it multiple years in a row, you also have to give the guy credit for whatever he's doing.
And it's just like
it doesn't happen.
What I thought you were going to say was, it's just like Peyton Manning. When you watch full games of Peyton Manning, you're like, wow, that's one he got away with there. And you realize.
And part of it is the success of them and the team. Because you don't throw a lot of picks when you're winning games 28-7. Because you're not forcing throws. You don't need to make plays.
Right.
You throw more picks when you're trying to come back and you're in pressure situations and you have to make a play. So it's one of those things that fuels itself. If you play well, build a lead, you're going to continue to play well and build a lead.
It's just a weird trend, though, that he threw the years that he threw the most picks. He's only thrown the most picks he's ever thrown is 14.
Right.
Just looking at it.
No, I know. And he's usually very consistent with like 12, 13, 14, 12.
But the years he was throwing, we'll call it 10 to 14 picks, were the years they were winning Super Bowls. In the years that he's having outstanding single-digit, you know, interception numbers, they're not winning Super
Bowls. Well, but it's a different team. Yeah. Like, I would guess some of those are what I'm talking about. He was in tight games. When you're in tighter games, you're making tighter throws.
Yeah.
When you're blowing teams out, you're not in tight games.
07 was the first year he had single-digit picks.
And he had eight.
And then
he had four and ten.
Yeah, the injury year. Then he went all the way up to 13-9, 4-10, 12-11.
All the way up to 13.
I'm just saying.
I just think it's funny. Like 2 years ago, Eli threw 25 or something.
Yeah, but you're talking about triple the number of picks
from
the year before.
I think your analysis is dead on, Andy. And I think that if you are a really good team and you're constantly dictating the way the game is played, your interceptions are going to be down.
And as a quarterback, you know, the one way I can lose this game is by forcing a throw and throwing a pick six here. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And now there's an element. I mean, Kevin's right, too. There is definitely an element of luck, and we've talked about that a lot. With balls hanging in the air.
Yeah,
and
some of these balls that go up, Paul, I'm standing down there, and I'm like, okay.
How does that not get picked? But, you know, the great ones somehow find a way to not get it picked. Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees.
Can only have so many single-digit pick seasons where you say, I don't know what he does. I mean, Paul would say he's got a horseshoe up his ass, but whatever, he's doing it.
I wouldn't say that about Brady.
It's the team in general.
Just another thing that jumps out on me before you take this call. The last 5 years has never had more than four fumbles, too, which seems like
that he's uncanny
amount.
On. That I might
he holds
give
on
you
to
a
the
little
ball
bit of your horseshoe
down.
Thing.
I mean,
he's gotten blindsided and had no idea the hit was coming more times than I can remember without fumbling. It's absurd.
I don't think there are a ton, you know, like you said this week, the runaway rusher up the middle. I'd much rather have a runaway rusher he sees than a guy coming off an edge untouched. Because those are the ones, because up the middle, A, you see it, and B, the guy's not in as easy a position to swat because the ball's protected by the quarterback's body.
Think about the runaway Elvis Dumervil last year. He doesn't fumble on that. Like, how he doesn't fumble on that play is astounding to me. You know, like a quarterback fumbles on that hit when he doesn't know what's coming.
Right.
9 times out of 10, he either doesn't fumble or they find a way to get it back.
We could spend the next 2 hours, you know, talking about this stuff, or we could just say
how amazing he is.
He's just good.
He's good.
Yeah, he's good.
He's going to be in the Hall of Fame someday.
He's good.
He's one of the greatest ever, and this is all part of it.
All right, let's get
the calls are piling up. Paul begs, and they come.
Brian in Brighton. What's going on?
Hey, suck it, fellas.
Hey,
wow.
Be nice. That only, you only
I
can
you
be like that on
hey,
four-man
I
shows.
I thought we weren't supposed to say hello, or how are you guys?
No,
this show.
This is not the A-hole show. That's on Real Radio. That's the A-hole show.
All right.
I'll be there
right.
later.
We're very
good
nice. Hello, Brian. How are you? Good to hear from you. What's new?
How are you, Andy?
I am tremendous. Thanks for calling, by the way.
Thank you for appreciating.
What do you want to talk
now,
about? Paul's
I have
getting mad.
One comment real quick. Like one play that really kind of stuck with me watching the last game against the Jets. I know we're talking about Miami now. But the play when Sanchez fumbled. Am
yes.
I the only one that thinks that that kind of should have been called as him hitting the ground? Like he was already going for the slide. So as soon as you go for the slide, that's the spot of the ball, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think so.
That's a real tough one. Yeah, no, you can slide and give yourself up and it wouldn't be a fumble. But I think that's a real close call as to whether or not he was in his slide or hitting his player, causing him to slide.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
that was
if
close.
It was a slide, if it was a slide, he was already into it.
Yeah.
It could have been called a stop a play.
Yeah, I don't think that's what happened, though. I think that it was called properly.
And I didn't hear Mark Sanchez saying it either.
I think.
I slid. I shouldn't have the ball.
I think he probably was about to start to slide the way his feet went out from under him.
I'm not so sure.
But I think that he hit Brandon Moore first, and then he went down. And then he lost the ball. And I think the play was called properly.
Okay. And the second thing that came to mind in that was we talk about, okay, yes, Gronkowski is awesome. And who can't love the guy? The guy's a big, dumb oaf. But what I think the second best, most important person on our team is Wilfork. And I'm amazed that the guy, I mean, as a lineman, you don't go down ever. Like, guys constantly falling down at your legs and your knees and your ankles and so forth. But I think if we ever lost Wilfork, our season would be done.
Well, there's two ways to look at that. I think he's a key player. I think he does a lot up front, and that's one aspect of it. The other is, well, how much worse would you be on defense?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of Wilfork.
I think we could be a lot worse on defense.
I don't think you could.
I mean, even the last few weeks, four straight games now, they're averaging 4 yards a carry. They're not really stout against the run. He's been out there.
That's true. And that, I guess that's where I say we'd be worse. I mean, at least
you'd be worse. Yes, you'd be worse. But I don't think there'd be that much of a difference. I think Vince Wilfork is a terrific interior defensive lineman. But he's not one that rushes the passer or makes that kind of an impact. I think you'd be fine. I think you'd be worse. You'd lose. You'd miss him. But I think you'd plug in Brandon Dederich next to Kyle Love, and you'd be fine.
Huh? Interesting.
What do you think?
So then we're overpaying.
No, I've said that from day one. I would have never re-signed him.
True.
I wanted to sign a pass rusher. And it wasn't a shot against him.
It's not disrespecting
the job
him.
He does and the way the defense is built and the needs of the defense and the weaknesses of the defense, I'm just not sure you'd be much worse without him.
You know what I kind of liken it to, Brian, and you know what Andy and I think of Logan Mankins. I think he's one of the best guards in football. Well, you're not as good. Your left guard is not as good in Donald Thomas, but you're fine.
But the way the offense is built with your weapons and your tight ends and your coaching staff and your quarterback, how much worse would you be on offense without him? And you're finding out this year, well, not that much worse.
And
you're averaging 37 points a game.
We similarly didn't necessarily dispute the team's stance to not want to make him the highest paid guard. Now, they did, and that was fine because they rewarded one of their own. I had no problem with that. But if they had let him go because they said he's a guard and I can replace a guard, I wouldn't have had a problem with that.
Right.
And I love Logan Mankins, maybe my favorite guy in that locker room ever.
And Paul's right. Some of it does come down to attitude, work ethic, fitting in with the team, the Patriot way. You know, and I think that's a positive for the franchise. I'm praising the franchise for taking care of those guys, as opposed to a guy who might be more valuable in some ways, like Asante Samuel, as a playmaker in this passing league, a guy that can make plays in the passing game. Maybe that's more valuable, but maybe you don't feel like the work ethic's there, the commitment, the dedication to team, all that. And, you know, that's the discrepancy with a guy who's let walk and guys who they bring back.
Okay. All right. And then one quick request. The problem with you two together,
uh-oh,
you guys agree too much.
No arguing.
Well,
yeah.
Paul's an idiot.
Absolutely.
I mean, we need some turmoil here.
Eric will be by later.
You got to find a topic that you disagree about.
Eric will be by later. Don't worry.
Well,
I'll try to throw a bomb. I'll come up with something.
Eric doesn't talk.
That's true.
So,
yeah, but you're absolutely right. Andy and I say that all the time. We're too agreeable when we're together.
See you, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
Screw you. Screw you.
Going to jump to Tiff. I'm going to jump on Tiff in Wisconsin. Who says that Kevin is...
Because you guys were making me mad.
Uh-oh.
Kevin is pissing her off, though.
Yeah.
What'd he do?
It's like that whole thing where if you take that play out, then what? You know how you guys do that stuff to be argumentative?
Yeah, I don't like to do
that. Take out this play.
It's called talk radio.
You take out that play, then we're tied, and then we could have... I don't like that.
Like you take away three field goals and you didn't win any Super Bowls.
Right. Exactly. Here's what I thought that Brady looked amazing. The last two games that I've seen, he looks amazing. And he's got a different element to his game, like being a little elusive, I think.
I don't know about elusive. When he plays,
what is he calling Kaepernick?
A little elusive.
When he plays well, he has good pocket presence and movement. When he plays poorly, he gets skittish back there and kind of anticipates pressures.
Yeah, and I think he has been better, Tiff, at that the last couple of games.
He hates, and I think that comes with being a 35-year-old QB.
I agree 100%, and that's what we're talking about. I think he has hated getting hit more the last 3 or 4 years than he did when he was 28, 29 in there. And I agree with you. That's 100% normal on so many levels. It hurts more. It takes longer to recover from it. He has a family and kids to worry about. You know, maybe this modern day and age of head injuries has crept in. Who knows? He had a major injury. It's all understandable, but it's also, it's noticeable, and it's a detriment to the team at times.
Right. Agreed. You guys were talking about Will Fork. You don't think he'd make that much of a difference because we're averaging, we're allowing 4 yards per carry, a defense.
I think he's a very good player. I don't want to. That one's kind of.
Yeah,
I don't want that one to be misunderstood.
Oversimplify what you said. Forgive me. I think the philosophy of the Belichick and the Patricia defense is to allow the yard, allow the movement. Just don't give up points.
Well, on some level,
have they done that though?
I
have
think
they not
you're
allowed
right.
points?
Well, they're much better in points than everything else.
It's a philosophy. It's not always the case. You know, you can't always stop touchdowns. You know, other teams are good. You can't always stop touchdowns.
But I agree with you. I think in general, Belichick says, we can give up yards, but you're not going to go 80 yards on me 6 times in a game. You're not going to do it. Quarterbacks aren't good. Offenses aren't good enough. We're going to make plays that'll be turnovers, that'll A, get the offense more opportunities, and B, keep you from scoring. And I think on some level that's part of their philosophy. Now, I don't think they say going into a game, we're going to allow you to have yards. We're going to give up 480 yards, and we're just going to say we're going to make up. They don't want to allow the yards, but I think they can rationalize it better than anything else.
Okay. And then here's my final question was in regard to the Sue non-suspension,
When
I looked at what they're showing on TV all the time is, you know, the front part of it, where it looks like he puts his leg out and tries to kick him there. But if you look at the back end where Staub's back is turned, it doesn't look like he can actually see Staub.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know that I've seen that angle.
Yeah, clearly that's what the NFL decided, Tiff.
The back angle kind of helps Sue out because his head looks like it's all the way down, like he can't see.
Yeah,
I agree that he tried to kick him.
Yeah, the NFL obviously thought that as well, that, you know, they didn't think that he was looking and couldn't have done it on purpose. I think, in my mind, that he knew, at least, if he didn't see him, he knew he was there.
But from what I've read, this was another case where NFL took in track record in recent history, and it was either Breer, Rappaport, one of the NFL guys reported that the league has been basically watching every single Ndamukong Suh play for the last year plus, and they believe he's made a concerted effort to play cleaner, to not have as many of these plays, and they're kind
of
giving him the benefit of the doubt on this one, whereas if he had had more of these questionable calls this year, they would have gotten him for it.
Yeah.
But I do think he meant to do it. I think you see his head look up. It's almost like he takes a quick peek out of his periphery.
Look at that
You're right.
Angle.
I haven't
that
seen that.
Angle.
That leads me to believe the media is screwing me. They're trying to get me to believe one thing.
The one they're showing is the one that looks like he's looking up. But
right.
If you look at the back angle, it doesn't look like he saw.
Well, I'm going to keep an eye out for that.
Okay.
I appreciate
that. Well, you guys are having a good show. I'm loving it, except for that one part.
Except for Kevin being a douche.
Yeah, that's what happens when he tries to jump in the show. I told him before Andy got here, I told him he might need to help me out a little bit. He got all excited. My fault.
Well, you guys take care.
Thanks, Tiff.
As Fred would say, he got a Danny Woodhead in his pants.
Yeah, he had a little Woodhead going. I'm going to take one more call before I take a break because the pizza's here, Andy.
Yeah, see this guy. He's never happy. He begs for calls, and now he's mad they're calling because he's got pizza to eat.
Not mad at all. Very excited
this guy,
about the
never
calls.
Happy.
I asked for calls, and what do we get?
Calls!
So what does that tell you?
It's not broken. People can hear us?
People are listening.
Oh, okay.
That's what we want.
Okay.
Is it not?
I don't know. Just take Ken.
Okay. Ken in North Carolina, how are you?
Hey, man. How are you guys doing?
Great. Eric's not here.
Yeah, but isn't that nice?
Because I know you don't think much of him.
Nope, I don't.
What do you got today, Ken?
You know what? On Vince Wilfork, frankly, I think we ought to rename the man.
Okay.
Instead of Vince Wilfork, I think we should call him Will Forklift. I mean, I think one of the toughest positions to play in football is interior line. And the way he picked up a 330-pound man on his left arm, shoved him right back into the quarterback on Thursday, I mean, I have never, ever seen anything like that in my life.
Yeah, I didn't think he pushed him back quite as much as you obviously did. And Chris Collinsworth was raving over the play. Chris Collinsworth was very much on your view.
Wins Wilford.
I didn't think that Moore got pushed back as much as you guys believe. I thought Sanchez inexplicably ran into him. And I thought after Sanchez. Well, yeah, I thought he moved him back after Sanchez hit Moore in the back of the knee and kind of took his,
He's already been double teamed.
Oh, he was definitely being double teamed. And that's, on one level, I agree with you. I think taking a double team in the NFL, in terms of having the fortitude to deal with it every single play, I think is very difficult to do. Physically, I don't think it's the same as, you know, having to play corner. I think corner is the hardest position in terms of athletic ability and skill to play in the NFL.
I'll grant you that, but I've also seen Vince Wilfork intercept a ball and run.
Yeah, but he didn't exactly cover people. I mean, to me, if you want to get into the impressive plays by Wilfork, the most impressive one was the hit he laid earlier this year, where he dropped back on, was it Jones? Donald Jones from the Bills,
right,
and laid a textbook form tackle. And
yep,
when you have 350 pounds form tackling you, that's a knockout shot. That was one of the most impressive things I've ever seen. There is no doubting his physical abilities and, you know, kind of like in boxing where they say pound for pound, this guy's great. Pound for pound, he might be the best athlete on the team.
I agree.
For the stuff he does at 350 plus pounds is amazing. But the question is, his value to the defense, and this is a defense that has struggled for a few years now with him making a lot of money. If that money were spent elsewhere, would they be a better football team? You know, is there a better source for that revenue?
Well, that can be as well. I mean, that is the business of football.
Yep.
But you know what? He is a stalwart. He is right there every time, every play. You don't see guys getting double teamed like he does.
He definitely gets double teamed a lot, and I would say his durability is very impressive.
A lot
and
of
I
guys,
said this in training camp because he never stretches. Whenever they do form running and stretching, he basically does whatever the hell he wants. He walks around, he talks, and I said, normally I'd criticize him, but for a guy who never gets hurt, I can't criticize him.
See, I think of a lot of players that play like Vince does around the league, or maybe not right now, but like over the years, guys like Casey Hampton and Jamal Williams. And Haloti Ngata. There's a lot of players, I think, that do. Chris Jenkins from the Jets. None of them have been able to stay on the field for 16 games consistently the way Vince Wilfork has. I think some of those players are better than he is when they're at their best, or when they were at their best. Some of them aren't even in the league anymore. But Vince is unbelievable with his durability.
And even when it looks like
how many games has he missed because he's been hurt?
Not many.
One or two. It's very limited. And he gets these injuries that looks like a leg injury. He limps off, And then you're like, okay, he's done. And then he limps back on for the next series, and you don't really see him getting pushed around more than you expect.
And because Andy and I know Vince a little bit, not really well, but we know, you know, we get to talk to him a little bit.
I would love to.
I know what he's dealing with at times, and we know that what he's gone through to continue to be out on the field at times. And I think, to me, I say this all the time when I used to talk about Brandon Merriweather. It was the only thing I could say positive as a Patriot about Brandon Merriweather. It's not an easy thing. It's not just something to be flippantly overlooked, the ability to play 16 games. And for a guy, as you says, Ken, to take on double teams inside with all that trash, all those people around your legs and knees, I'm sure he's gotten rolled up on dozens of times every week. And yet he's out there every game. I think it's extremely impressive.
And I mean, you know, one of the things that I've always seen about this guy, I don't care how he gets hit, how people roll up on him, what happens, he gets up and he plays again.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't want to, you
know. That is not an easy job.
No, but, and it's kind of like the Brady thing. I think there is some luck involved. You know, it's like Logan Mankins. He went forever without missing a single play, and now all of a sudden this year, every time he steps on the field, he gets a new injury.
Yeah.
You know, there's
not
some,
any less
there's
tough
good
than he
luck
was.
And there's bad luck involved with some of this as well.
Yes, and I also think because of his thighs, you know, that has a lot to do with it.
Did you say thighs or size?
Thighs. How big he is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And his, I mean, his legs are like piano legs.
Well, he's the ultimate, and everybody always calls him the tree stump. He's a tree stump out there. You couldn't move a tree stump. You can't move him.
Because he's not that tall. He's only 6'2". I mean, I know that sounds like.
And his center of mass is around his center of mass.
Yeah, he's got a big belly.
He's built like Paul.
Oh, for God's sakes. Ken, I'm going to have to drop you after laughing, all right?
What, Paul?
No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
No, I'm 6'3".
No, I you laughed when Andy called me fat, so I was going to drop you.
Well, you're redistributing your weight.
Right.
But I was, that was before I got old.
All right, Ken, thanks for chiming in. Appreciate it. You know, the Wilfork thing, I do want to sort of walk a fine line there. I don't want to make this sound like I don't think Vince Wilfork is an extremely gifted football player, and you called him pound for pound perhaps the best athlete in the team.
Sure.
Strong argument could be made for that.
Sure.
I just think that that position on a defense in general, like you said, cornerback, well, that to me, if I had a Darrelle Revis – losing Darrelle Revis for the Jets meant a hell of a lot more to that defense than losing Vince Wilfork would for the Patriots defense.
Well, it's part of what we talk about, this changing sort of generalization. The old day, you got to be strong up the middle. Well, actually, no, you need to be strong on the edges. And you could argue that the Patriots are strong with guys like Spikes, Mayo, and Wilfork, where you don't really need to be anymore, and not strong enough on the cornerback and outside linebacker, you know, edge rusher positions. And I just think it's a transitioning league. I mean, a lot of people think Belichick's linebackers are too big and that they can't cover and they can't do some of the athletically gifted things.
Yeah.
You know, that's a philosophical and a transition into modern-day football. No one's running up the middle. And in a different era, you know, 15 years ago, Vince Wilfork might have been the most indispensable Patriot defender. I just don't know if this day and age against these offenses with this unit, if it's the same way.
Yeah, that's what I felt. And Eric is here. We will let him get settled in here.
He's going to blow his nose, and if you've seen him, you know that takes a while.
Before he gives us a practice update, Eric, is there anything imminent, or can
anybody
I take
die?
A break? Is anything that we're breathlessly waiting to get an update on? Because I have not been on the Twitter.
Not really. I'll just
I'm
give
trying
you the,
to channel.
I'll give you the quick highlight. Julian Edelman was practicing.
Okay, I thought
in
that,
full pads.
I thought there was a chance that could be.
So
happening.
We can go over the details.
In his underwear, running around. I'm on fire! I'm on fire!
I'm okay.
Oh, it burns!
Yeah, you can go to break if you want.
All right, so there's a good little nugget of information. Julian Edelman in pads practicing today. Maybe that concussion was not as bad as it originally seemed. Kevin,
easy
we all
for
said
you to say. You weren't the one cradling a ball that was no longer there.
All right, we're going to hit the halfway point, take a quick break. I'm going to eat some pizza.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with Bill Pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call Better Banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
We all know that Andy is the bully of PFW in Progress. He can dish it out, but can he take it?
Trying to read the email here. Guy's pulling an all-nighter so that he can email during the show, and Andy's disrespecting.
No, that's not my fault. It's
no,
you.
That's your fault.
You're the one who picks and chooses the emails.
That's your fault.
Shut up.
Typical big head. He's never wrong, and nothing's ever his fault.
You're the one who chooses
the
emails.
That's not my fault. It's not my fault that I'm talking while you're talking.
Don't have a heart attack.
Oh, my God.
Leave it to Fred to put Andy in his place.
When someone's talking, you have to shut up.
Now, back to PFW in Progress.
He's going to kill him.
Back for the second hour, PFW in Progress. Eric Scalavino's with us. We told you,
hey, guy.
We told you earlier in the show that Eric would be by later, and he is. And he gave you a little preview
a tease, if you will,
of what took place out in the practice field. Julian Edelman on the field in pads, taking part.
Full pads.
In practice.
One of the rare full pads of affairs of the season.
What number is this now? I know you guys like to chart this like it actually means something.
I had, off the top of my head, I believe it's seven.
Was that a shot at the rest of the media?
Yes. Yes, it was.
You like to count the amount of shots I take.
That was a shot. No one really does that anymore. I think I'm the only one who does that.
What, the shots at the rest of the media?
No, the keeping track of the full pads.
Oh. I'm sure you're not alone.
But
there's probably a blog post on ESPN Boston right now.
Maybe. You might be right. I don't know.
That was a little bit over the line.
Offensive line looking a little thin today, and I don't mean physically. They were missing four guys, Connolly among them. Connolly, who played the other day on Thanksgiving. Marcus Zusevic, who just got called up, not there. Logan Mankins.
Tear his other pec?
I don't know. Mankins and Vollmer, both not there. And Vollmer, obviously.
Seriously. Your burps can be heard. Sorry.
Paul, I think, it might have been Fred I was talking about with this. But
lo and behold, here come Fred.
Was thinking maybe Vollmer was inactive on Thanksgiving because with his back injury, maybe he needs a full week to recover so he can play in a game. And because it was a short week, maybe he didn't have enough time to recover. That was my thinking. But
it's wrong.
apparently it's wrong because if he's missing practice now.
Because now we're, 11 days later or something?
Yeah. So
maybe
apparently it's not that.
Days?
Nah, I guess not. And then obviously Gronk was not there. And Chandler Jones. One where I thought, it's just a short week.
That's one I thought
That's
was
a very short, interesting one.
That's the one I thought was a short week related. Vollmer, I really had no idea what to think. Didn't even know he was dealing with something that was that serious to keep him out of the game last week. You know, he's been on the injury report all year. You know,
right,
it's hard to know what the week is that. Oh, now this is serious.
Yeah,
you know Jones. I kind of thought based on
how
what
Bill
we saw.
Likes it.
Yeah, based on what we saw, I thought Jones was going to come back in the game. I thought he would come back.
You know
the
Fred,
way he was acting on the sideline.
You were wrong again.
I guess I was. Yeah.
Fred's not here, so we don't have to get into our injury report discussion. But that was what you just said. That's just the way Bill likes it.
Oh yeah,
that's what I talk about.
Subterfuge.
That's why they have so many guys listed. They want to have 20 questionables, right, so 10 can play, or 16 questionables, 14, whatever it is, that gives them ample opportunity to make it cloudy, and some will play, some won't play. That's how they do it.
And it works.
Absolutely.
I mean, I've seen so many pregame tweets from, a fan to a right, is Brandon Lloyd going to play today? Mm. And Jeff Howe replies, why wouldn't he? Well, he is on
the injury report.
Yeah, he's been on the injury report for a month. So, there's if you go by the letter of the law, there's a potential reason why he couldn't.
And if you don't read those things carefully by the day, you can miss because Patriots one is so lengthy. You can miss a guy getting added or taken off.
And I can't tell you how many times, and I do look at them every day, just like everybody else does. But you'll sit there and you'll look at the injury report, and then you'll think to yourself, "Oh, so and so and so and so were limited," and you miss three other guys who haven't been on the injury report who are limited,
right,
or guys that had been on the injury report in the past that aren't there anymore,
right? Mm-hmm.
Or like Logan Mankins. I think maybe they have a two injury limit, and
right,
they change his two injuries.
Right,
like you can't list three because
he
had another one
he
that you just eliminated.
One.
Is that all better?
Away.
Right.
And Eric, you alluded to the James Devlin situation.
Yes, he is.
The Patriots did officially make that move.
Yes, they did.
Call him a running back.
They had one spot on the roster.
Yes,
you never know
with this team. Maybe he's going to fill the depth at defensive line.
I'm waiting for them to just call everybody FP.
We were thinking
football
that
player.
We were thinking
fat
Marcus
person.
Forston would have the inside track because of the depletion at defensive line, but it wasn't.
Can
it was James Devlin.
Room for Jason Babin.
Maybe.
Once he clears waivers.
Maybe. They do have eight people on the practice squad, though, because as we sort of hinted in our tweet yesterday.
No,
Jeremy,
you said it yesterday. You came out and said it.
I came out and said it.
You broke the news.
I came out and said it. Jeremy Ebert. Wearing number 17, though, so don't get your hopes.
Is that what
up
he wore in camp or no?
No, he wore
80
in camp.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He didn't know who Troy Brown was. Called him Tim. I remember that.
That is accurate. And unfortunately, I was front and center for that.
I do recall.
And I go, it's Troy. Try to help the kid out.
So maybe James Devlin's a D lineman again. Maybe we converted him back.
You know, that's the possibility.
Although
though,
he was warming up still with the offense.
Well, that's
good
just
theory,
to throw
though.
You guys
good
off.
That's possible.
As soon as you guys
possible.
Left,
Andy's
entirely
thinking.
It's true. It's possible.
What's his weight?
I'd say he's only like 240-something, though, now, right?
251, according to the release.
He could play end.
Devlin.
He could.
He's no smaller than Ninkovich, probably.
No.
Devlin.
Not out of the question.
24. join the practice. Andy likes when radio,
they put the number.
The
right?
radio hosts read the press releases verbatim.
No,
I never do that. You know, instead of just looking at it, say, yeah,
Devlin's trying to bitch his way out of it all day.
Yeah, I don't have any.
So we now have six players who are either tight ends or fullbacks, right? Because five tight ends and
Devlin
Manawanui, whatever you want to include him as. So six players at those two positions. At this time last year, what do we have? Two. Although maybe we had
Lusaka. Polite. Yeah.
Was he here at this point?
It was at the end of December.
We didn't.
Yeah, I'm not sure he was here.
He wasn't here in November.
I'm just saying that what we finished this season with.
No, I'm talking about literally now, because I'm guessing James Devlin will not be finishing the season with the Patriots.
A lot of Jason Babin questions on the email.
He wasn't out there, right, Eric?
A lot of people
didn't see him.
Could not be by rule.
No, could not.
Even if they claimed him, they are not. There'd be in the bottom 10 of claim people.
Yeah.
Teams.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Baltimore, Houston, and Atlanta.
There was an interesting,
but then they'd be in a group, and I don't know who would have the title.
They all could have interest in him.
Take
right?
it for what it's worth, though. Sure. But I saw Jason Cole, I believe, tweet this morning that he spoke to four league execs overnight. All four expected Babin to clear waivers.
Yeah,
which I thought was surprising. And Cole said that was surprising too. I didn't. I thought maybe some team.
I think it's a bad decision by people. If you need a pass rusher, claim him.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think if you have the cap space, you should absolutely claim him if you want him. I don't think it's that cost prohibitive, but I feel like he will clear waivers because people just don't like to spend $1.6
million. Now you have to compete for him. Now he gets to pick where he goes. You might not get him. You might get him cheaper if you get him, but you might not get him.
Because why, Andy?
What?
They're stupid.
Who's
they don't look at
the fans.
People. They don't look at it that way.
That's what Paul says.
They don't. They look at it and say, "I can save money. I don't have to spend $1.6 million." Not fans. No, not in this particular case. Fans aren't paying the check.
It's down to the bottom line. You want them or not?
I talked about Joe in Michigan. A lot of people want to talk about Babin. Michelle Stockholm also had a question regarding this, and you guys can clear it up. The waiver situation.
Mm-hmm.
From what I understand, if a team claims him, they have to honor the remaining contract, 3 years, somewhere around $16 million. And if he doesn't want to play for that team that claims him, he'll have to sit out the remainder of the season and then become a free agent. If he does clear waivers,
he would still be on that team. So he'd have to, his contract would be, he'd be did not report or something.
Okay.
Well,
this is what she wants you to clear up. So,
sorry. Okay. Wait, what was her question? If he gets claimed but chooses not to report?
Right. Like if the Patriots claimed him for some reason he didn't want to play for the Patriots.
Reserve, did not report.
Okay, and if he does clear waivers, anyone can pick him up and offer him a whole new contract?
Yeah.
Maybe I understood this correctly, but I still want to know from the experts.
Well, that part is right. If he clears waivers, he can sign anywhere he wants for anything he wants.
Anything,
he could get
basically.
A huge contract if somebody was willing to give it to him based on cap.
And that would be
now.
Stupid, though, because if you just get him
just
for
claim him for
exactly.
the... Exactly. But, yeah, he can get whatever a team is willing to give him at this point. The other part is not correct. If a team claims his contract, they claim the entirety of the contract, he becomes their property, he would go on some reserve did not report list, potentially, depending how it got ugly.
The difference there is the 3 years, the 2 years after this remaining. So Andy's...
Yeah, he'd be in perpetuity.
But he couldn't refuse to play and then try to become a free. He couldn't do that.
No.
Correct.
What do you think this is, a democracy where you can pick and choose where you want to go?
Brandon and Callie want to get high?
This phone has been ringing nonstop.
Yeah, well, is he in there?
No. I don't know. It just says ringing.
Hey, guys and girls, Eric.
Well, we don't have two girls here. Well, some people think I'm kind of feminine. I'm going to be honest.
Don't look at me.
I don't know if I'm the only one who hates when Brady throwing from inside our five. It seems like we always get a safety or nothing. I remember in the Super Bowl before the
Except
play
in
happened.
Miami when we went 99 yards.
I remember saying, please don't throw it, and we saw it happen. I feel like ever since Brady hit Welker for 99 yards, they feel comfortable throwing out of the end zone and shouldn't.
They've always felt comfortable throwing out of the end zone.
Yes, but which quarterback, every quarterback, Joe Montana, if he's backed up on his own four, you don't feel overly great about it.
I think the best way to get off the goal line is a first down pass.
I agree.
Now, the problem is...
The worst way to get off the goal line is a first down pick.
The Patriots have had
some
recent examples where that first down play is incomplete, and then they choose to throw again on second down and on third down. I think when you're incomplete on first down, I think you need to run the ball on second down.
Yeah.
But
do
I like
you do well.
I like throwing the ball out of the end zone. I think more often than not, this team has gotten out of the shadow of its goalposts by throwing the ball, and I would expect them to continue.
I'm
to do
okay
that.
With two second down throws.
Anytime you're that close to the end zone, though, it's scary. Whether it's a punt,
right.
Whether it's you're on offense, there's just limited room. You can't operate.
Yeah, defense I told you has that. That what game was that? Where the guy was backed up on his end zone, tried to throw one of those, you know, safe little turnaround throws like a screen.
Oh, the worst throw of all time.
The guy was right there and picked it off literally on the half-yard line with his foot in the end zone. I mean, bad things can happen there. It's why you tense up. But I'm okay. They throw. They're a good throwing team. Their best weapons are through the air. Throw on first down, throw on second. If you don't get it, okay, well, things aren't going anywhere.
Right.
Let's run our draw to get Zoltán Mesko the room he needs to punt.
Or in the case of that Denver game earlier in the year, let's run our draw and have Danny Woodhead pick up 19 yards or something.
Yes, that is preferable.
You never know. No, but that's the situation that you're describing.
No, I know.
It was.
I don't think that's going to happen all that often.
It was near the goal line. It was a penalty that pushed him back. It was like third and 19 after two throws. And they said, well, let's take a shot and run it here and give us some room to punt, and they got the bonus.
Actually, I think they were close to midfield at that point.
No.
Yeah.
They were inside. Ooh. They were inside.
He said, yeah, you said no. Bitch fight. Let's go. Get the stats.
15.
No, I think you're wrong, Paul.
I don't know what play you're talking about, but the play I'm talking about.
The Woodhead, third and 19.
Was inside their 15-yard line, and I'm 100% certain of it.
Bet a lunch on it. Loser buys the whole staff lunch.
I don't think so. I think they were close to midfield. And
loser
buys
the whole staff lunch?
And they were going to punt. And
do we have it? Do we have a bet? Do we have a bet?
It's not the same play.
Do we have a bet?
I know the play you're talking about. It's not the same play I'm thinking about.
But there was only one play where Woodhead ran the ball on third and 17 and got 19 yards.
I don't know exactly what the yard – it was third down, definitely.
Yeah.
And it was over 10, and it was from inside their 15-yard line. This was the key play to me in that game.
All right, well, put my lunch where your mouth is.
I know exactly what I'm talking about. I know exactly the play I'm talking about. I don't know if it was third and 19.
Okay, well,
I think
you
he
bet
got
on
19
it.
Yards on the play. Maybe that's what I'm confusing. Maybe it wasn't third and 19.
Somebody bet a damn lunch on this?
I can't be any more than 100% certain.
Okay, so you're 100% certain. Eric, are you certain?
I know the
if
play.
I'm wrong.
Don't be a vagina.
Yes,
bet your lunch.
I know
okay.
the play I'm thinking of.
I think so, you're thinking of a different play. I think I know what play you're talking about. I think we're both right.
So you should.
let's cut to the chase. I'm in the Fred Kersey. Right.
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 Who's buying lunch?
No one.
Oh.
Why don't you
whoever's
buy your own
tap.
Lunch? Big head.
I'm poor. It's Christmas time.
He still owes me lunch.
I do still owe him a lunch.
Let's see. Raj in Fairfax. First time emailer in Big Pat's.
See how long you can go.
I'm in the middle of reading an email. This is the first time email.
He's all day's been telling me whatever you can do so I don't have to read emails. And now I'm talking, and to keep him from reading emails.
This is true. We got about five calls.
Someone's
as soon as
talking.
I said it.
Well, he got down on his knees and begged, please, I don't want to read emails. Please call. Please call. Please
and
call.
And 11 seconds later, we had five calls. So the whole down on my knees begging.
Well, you're good on your knees.
Not quite accurate. Raj, first time email.
Bledsoe told me.
Who Andy.
There's going to be a fight in the studio.
I tweeted Bledsoe today.
You did?
I saw him
did
tweet
we
about
add him. Now, did you ever have dinner
at
his house?
I responded to it. I said, I guess my invitation got lost.
As did the tweet. He didn't respond to it.
I don't think he did.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'd have to have gone back on Twitter since then to know.
Meanwhile, he's got seven tweets back from Drew.
Drew is like, actually, I'm having lunch right now. You want to come by?
Drew was saying, I had you down in Peabody. Wait, did you move? let's see. Love your show, and you guys are fantastic. Quick question. This is the first time email.
What's his name? Raj.
Raj.
BJ.
Babin clearing waivers. Everybody thinks there's a chance that he could. Is it possible for teams to negotiate on waivers? Let's say that some other team is looking to pick him up before us. Can the Pats talk to the other team and do something negotiating like in the draft and get him for some other compensation?
No.
Not allowed?
No.
I don't believe that's above board.
Never heard of Billy Bear.
The only way you could possibly do that is potentially before the trading deadline, but we're
that's
after that.
Prohibited.
So.
And that's why, by the way, waivers are in place.
Right.
Because we're after the trade deadline. Because if he had gotten released early in the year, he would have just automatically become a free agent.
Right.
Contract terminated, as they say. Let's see. Colin in Belgium. Let's see. I think it's important to note when one of those life-changing moments happened. The kind of thing where everyone knows where they were when it happened. The fall of the Berlin Wall, man walking on the moon, the events that changed all of our lives into what happened before and what happened after. For me, there are a few images that I call perfect. That gave me perfect joy. My wife's face on our wedding day. The birth of my children. And now...
The bumble.
The image of Mark Sanchez knocking himself into history on the butt crack of Brandon Moore is added to that list.
Tell me how my ass tastes.
It's hard to type this as I've been giggling for 5 days.
It is a giggling type play.
It's like even easier to remember, too, because it was Thanksgiving night. Right? I mean, that's a very easy time to remember.
This one's going
to
go down in infamy. Since the Big Bang.
You think he'll ever laugh about it?
Yeah.
Maybe.
But not for a while.
Down the road?
Yeah,
down
the road.
Not
for a while.
Long time from now.
Maybe liquored up a little.
I mean, don't you laugh at some of the stupidest things that you did that
oh,
at the
God,
time
yeah.
that you think,
but I don't take
God,
myself too
I don't
seriously.
Think I'm ever going to get over this. No,
he
but
seems
I'm
like he takes
something,
himself kind of seriously.
But I'm talking about something that you thought was serious. I mean, most stupid things that we all do aren't really all that important in the grand scheme
well,
of things.
Well, his wasn't all that important.
Sure
they were going to get blowed the F out either way.
Well, it was still pretty important.
He just happened to do it in front of, like, you know, millions of people.
Since the Big Bang, all of existence has been evolving toward one perfect moment. As amphibians crawled from slime to walk on land, I'm sure this is what they all had in mind. Someday, monkeys would evolve and create sport, and eventually football would be created, and after many years, a superior nose tackle would force a fumble with an offensive guard's ass. I'm still not real comfortable with the whole forcing of it.
Yeah, you know, play along with it. They're Patriots fans.
Everything will now be defined as BAI. Before ass impact, and AAI, after ass impact. Everything has changed, and centuries from now, when we all live in perfect utopian society, we'll look back on this moment as the moment that changed everything. Fireman Ed understands this. He knows it. He gets it.
Do we have a new calendar now? Is that,
yeah.
is that the...
I don't know what life will be like in the future.
It's like day 3 or 5 or whatever the hell we are in.
I don't know what life will be like in this future. But I'll bet we'll still be giggling uncontrollably. That was well done. I like that.
And who was that from?
Colin.
Oh, from Belgium. That's right.
Correct. Let's see. A lot of emails in.
Got a lot
of emails.
You.
But I'm going to go to Dan and Harriet.
Oh, hang first. On. Before you go in, did you thank...
Yeah, hold on, Dan.
Did you thank our other friend from Belgium, Olivier?
Not yet.
Oh, okay.
You got a package from Olivier.
His mom.
Belgian Werfels.
Correct.
Nice.
Dan and Harriet. What can we do you for?
Guys, how's it going?
Ruff, ruff.
I hope everybody's Thanksgiving went well and was happy.
It was, thank you.
Quite.
Yours doesn't sound like it was because you seem a bit down.
It's just the tone of my voice. I get that from a lot of people.
You mad, bro?
Why don't you get a little excited? I know what you should take. Some Adderall. That'll get you riled up.
Oh, God. That's bad.
I did have a friend that took that when I was in college, so I'm very familiar with that. But... I do have one regret from Thanksgiving weekend, and that's overestimating the Jets. after that Shane Vereen touchdown, I thought, oh, I have plenty of time to get leftovers. There's no chance Sanchez will commit the fumble to end all fumbles. Got
yeah.
some nice fantasy points for it, though.
Yeah, if you left to go to the bathroom for 52 seconds, you really missed something.
I couldn't believe it. It was two fumbles in the span of about 2 minutes.
And Matt, you might have come back and thought you were abducted by aliens and lost time because did they score 3 touchdowns?
Imagine if you were actually at the game and chose that time to go to the bathroom.
I know.
You know, your bladder, I gotta go. No, I mean, what's going to happen in a minute? I'll run.
Right.
Son of a!
And you're not hearing any cheers because
right.
you're in an away
right.
stadium, so you think, oh, you know, nothing's happening. You get back and
what? Meanwhile, you're in the stall for 10 seconds and the game's over. Bitches.
Yeah, I thought I had traveled through some sort of vortex or something. I don't know.
So did Mark Sanchez. It was a vortex.
He entered a wormhole.
A big black hole.
Very good.
But, I can tell in your voice that you thought it was very good.
that was funny.
But I have one question about the defense, and then I have like a more of a personal question for you guys before I go.
If Fred were here, he'd say when I was 14, so I'm going to do it for him. But go ahead.
Are you guys have as little concern as I do over the poor run defense in these past couple of games?
Yeah, pretty much.
My level of anxiety, I would say, is increasing a little bit. You know, 1, 2, 3, you know, they start to become a trend. But the overall, the history of the run defense and the players involved with Mayo and Wilfork and Spikes, I'm not worried about it yet. And with the way the pass defense is,
some of it is situational.
How do you ever get around to worrying about the run defense?
I think some of it's situational too, because they've had big leads and you know they're defending against the pass and maybe they're letting their guard down a little bit.
I think the defending the pass part is accurate. I think the situational is not. I think that teams have opened up running the ball very well against the Patriots and then they've had to stop running, like the Jets. The Jets, the first three drives, ran the ball very well, and all of a sudden it was 35-0.
Right. The Colts. Ballard had like 60 yards.
See, the Colts
in the first half.
The Colts and the Bills running problems. That's where I give Eric a little bit of credence with the pass. I think they were playing spread pass first against New York. They lined up waiting for Sean Green to run it, and they didn't stop it until they had a 35-0 lead. Then they shut it down.
I'm not super worried, but I don't feel quite as strongly about it as you guys do, apparently.
I'll tell you why I'm not worried about it, and Dan, I'll let you tell us why you're not. I don't feel like a team can beat them running the ball. I feel like they've been consistent, pretty consistent, but slipped up the last 3 weeks. I share your concerns about the last 3 weeks. I've seen it. But I don't think teams are going to make hay outscoring New England by running for 200-plus yards.
No, I don't mean that, but staying balanced.
Controlling the ball.
You know, like the Jets game in the postseason. What Sanchez threw for like $190 or something. Three touchdowns. You know, Sean Green, and they ran for 130 or something like that. I mean, they were able to stay balanced and basically do what they wanted to do.
I think they're a little bit better, though, than that.
I'd rather teams not do what – I think they are. I think they are. But well, I feel less strongly about it few weeks ago.
That's actually the thing that – what you just said just gave me the most. Because that scenario – is accurate if you don't force a turnover,
right,
like they didn't that day.
Right.
You know, Baltimore, early in the year, was able to stay balanced.
Right.
And they put 31 on the board. That would worry me a little bit. I just don't think that teams can run the ball to beat the Patriots. I think you have to be able to throw.
Oh, you're going to have to throw, too. And luckily, everyone can throw on them.
So, Dan, why are you not worried?
Well, I agree with you there. My opinion would have a little bit to do with game planning. Also, the caliber of running backs that they've been facing, because as you'll probably remember, you know, in years past, some of these second tier running backs have put up some numbers on them. Like, you go back to the Cleveland game a couple of years ago, you know, nobody had even heard of Peyton Hillis, and then he goes off for almost 200 yards on them. And it's me sort of thinking that, you know, we can afford to give up these rushing yards to these kind of running backs, but we absolutely cannot allow them to throw on us, even though they do it anyway. I mean, yeah, probably the best running back they faced so far this year was Ray Rice, and I know he had a decent day on them, but I've got to think
yards.
In that game
he had better than a decent day.
And C.J. Spiller had a better than a decent day. He averaged 7 yards a carry. I think they've struggled against good backs and jag backs.
The last 3 weeks, certainly. You struggled
more
against Sean Green, you struggled against C.J. Spiller.
I mean, remember
in the last
that
3 weeks.
Stat I had about the 10-yard runs, they'd allowed like one all year. It was Ray Rice.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden it's Richardson, it's
Isaiah Pede.
Pede, Ballard, it's all these jag running backs. So yeah, I think they've had their issues at various times against a couple different kinds of backs, big name and little name.
Well, I just don't think that they're going to score enough running the ball, and that's why I'm not worried about it.
Well, I'm using the Ravens game as an example where, yeah, Ray Rice obviously had a very good game, but I've got to think that the defense was thinking, you know, the last time we played these guys, Flacco had a career day on us. We can't let that happen again. And I've got all the confidence in the world that if Belichick went into, you know, the game plan room and said, you know, we've got to do something about this rush defense, it would definitely improve starting next week.
Yeah, see, I agree with
that
too, but I think virtually any team could do that to any other team. If I just went in and said, I'm going to concentrate on stopping one thing today, I don't care.
And then you'll get burned by something else.
I don't.
So.
Right.
But, I mean, has the pass defense been really good the last few weeks?
When
they were focusing on the pass defense
and not the run? Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, the Baltimore game that we bring up from earlier in the year.
300 yards every week.
We were coming off the game that Joe Flacco had a quote-unquote career day in the AFC Championship game. Well, he topped that night.
Well,
he threw for more yards and more touchdowns and put up more points.
Idea,
no. I
didn't say it was working.
No,
I'm just saying.
But, you know, the more we're kind of talking about this, Dan.
I like that passion you just brought, Dan. I want to hear more of that.
I do, too. But the more, just listening to you talk about it is kind of – Andy's kind of winning me over here in terms of the concern. Because
Paul wasn't concerned a couple of minutes ago.
Got you into it.
You know, when you called, Dan, I wasn't concerned. I thought I was with you, but now you're getting me worried.
That's what I do. I bring out the cynic in everybody.
Nice.
And that's hard to do with me.
I try to do that, too.
But yeah, basically what I'm just saying is, you know, they have the coaching talent, and they have the interior guys where if they truly were more committed to stopping the run and they were willing to let their pass defense suffer a little bit, because that's probably going to happen given their personnel, they could absolutely do it. But before I go, I just wanted to say this is more of a question to you guys. Do you think maybe you guys could, you know, find it within your hearts, you know, in this holiday season, to talk to somebody down there, maybe he's a technical guy and see if he could fix the stream.
I try it all the time, but yes, we will. What's the issue specifically for you?
I'm getting, you know, the same thing that everybody else has been getting, you know, the random cutouts for a long period of time where it's got to refresh and it doesn't always do it.
Okay, we will pass that along to the monkeys upstairs and see what we can do.
All right, thanks, guys, and you have a good day.
You too, Dan. Thanks for calling.
Dan. His last part, though, like, what would the pass defense look like if they, you know, didn't focus on it? If they said, we're stopping the run this week, how bad would that
be? That's the part of it that I don't agree with. Like, does anybody think that the Patriots could run the ball if the other team just lined up and said, we're not letting Stephen Ridley run the ball today?
Oh, God, no.
No. He'd average less than 3 yards
could.
A carry.
Nobody.
Exactly.
But nobody would, because nobody's going to sell
out
that much.
You're going to accept yourself to Tom Brady throwing for 400
right.
instead of 300. Like
or anybody, though.
Does.
I mean, if somebody said, we're going to stop Adrian Peterson, we're just flat. You're not doing it. You're not running. Christian Ponder is going to kill you. Somebody's going to kill you. It doesn't have to be Tom Brady.
To
it
me,
could be Colin, whatever his name is.
Kaepernick. You talked about, Andy,
Belgium.
When we were talking about Will Fork, and you were saying how, like, the old days, it's kind of evolved, you know. You had to be strung up the middle, and now it's like edge stuff. Well, nowadays, it used to be, you know, you had to stop the run and all that stuff. Nowadays, you don't have those mammoth defensive tackles that stop the run and
right.
and make the other team pay. Nowadays, you have to stop the run with smaller personnel packages.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody does.
Oh,
not just
Patriots proved it.
And the Patriots are doing that to
Remember
other
the
teams
Wallow
this year.
Williams? What did they do against the Patriots? Yeah. Nothing, because right. Brady was picking them apart, spreading them out.
So what I feel now, like the teams that I think anybody can stop the run in the league if you want to. If that's what you decide to, like, you know, Dan's big thing was if the Patriots weren't so concerned about stopping the pass, they'd have no problem shutting down the run. I totally agree. I think if the Patriots went into a game and said, Sean Green's not going to get 50 yards today, he wouldn't.
Dustin Keller and Stephen Hill and Jeremy Curley would have 600.
You know, but they can't go into a game thinking that.
No.
And nor can anybody else. Now, it'll be interesting to see what, like, Arian Foster does in 2 weeks. A team that does like to run the football with a talented offensive line and a talented running back that can also throw a little. You know, so you can't necessarily just sell out to stop Arian Foster.
Okay, go ahead.
You know what I mean?
I want to talk Houston for a minute.
It's fine. We were just like skipping this game. I'm guilty of
no,
it.
No. I don't want to skip the game. I'm talking about drug talk is big today. You know, I listened coming in. Both stations were kind of addressing steroids. You know, the NFL suspensions combined with, as you said, the drug users coming on the ballot, Clemens and Bonds in baseball. Houston is as suspect as any team ever. I mean, you know, people talk to the Steelers at this era or the Chargers because Tijuana was
right.
there in that era. Houston, which, by the way,
close
is close to Mexico.
Yeah.
They have these guys, you know, they have guys that have been caught, first of all, like Brian Cushing. And they yep. have guys like J.J. Watt who exploded
yep.
and became more than I think even
Anybody
they probably
yeah.
thought he was going to be. They have an undrafted running back
yep.
who has become arguably one of the top two, three,
He's
four running backs
right now.
In football
yeah.
consistently. They have a wide receiver who is as one of the bigger wide receivers in the league who has endless muscle injuries. I mean, there's a lot of smoke coming out of Houston.
Yeah.
I'm done.
It's true.
What?
Just interesting.
They also have a ton of defensive end / outside linebackers that we talked about maybe coming here.
Oh, Brooks
here.
Reed.
Oh, all they're of our
them.
Team.
Right. Yeah.
They're our team. That was our draft.
Oh, well, they're
team.
Definitely my team because they
Reed,
also put them
JJ
on steroids.
J.J. Watt, Connor Barwin.
Whitney Merciless.
Put them on steroids when they get there.
Well, you know, some of them were pretty good before they got there. They may have already been on steroids. Do you think of that?
Maybe they got better steroids.
You know, Andre Johnson was like the third overall pick in the draft.
I know, but look at him. Do you think he's a steroid
user? He's huge.
Do you think he's a steroid user?
That's not fair. Don't do that to me.
Why? Do you think he? I didn't say is he. Do you think he is?
I think I've been on record with saying that every non-kicker in the NFL, I believe, is on something.
And some of the kickers, too.
Yeah, Todd Sauerbrunn. Can't dismiss them. Jay Feely. He's pretty stacked now.
He's big now.
There's some pretty big kickers out there. I say this all the time. It's the McCarthyism of the modern era. Everybody's guilty until they prove themselves innocent. That's how I feel.
It's not just football.
It's just too.
It's every sport at every level. I heard one of the most naive things ever. Jerry Callahan. Oh, you really think high school players are taking steps?
Yeah.
Are you out of your flipping mind? I've been out of high school for 15 years, and I know for a fact people were using steroids. But I'm assuming it has grown in the last 15 years, just like it has everywhere else.
You know, my nephew just got finished playing high school football. He's 2 years out now. He talked to me, told me endless stories about.
I mean, Jerry Callahan legitimately thought kids weren't.
It's a, you know.
I mean, that's as naive a statement, and I didn't know those people still existed. I thought everybody had kind of resigned themselves to the fact that it's dirty everywhere.
But that's
okay, maybe my son's T-ball team was clean, but. I'm not exaggerating that you don't get far from T-ball to it starts to legitimately become something that's a concern.
Certainly by the time kids get to the freshman year in high school.
God, yeah. And I would guess middle school. I would guess middle school is where, because that's where everything ramps up. Sex, you know, recreational drugs,
things of that
nature.
It's also more difficult to almost to identify it at that age because you never know
so much going on.
Really going through a growth spurt.
Right. He has back knee on his own. Never mind the steroids. He's, you know,
his voice swings because he's a teenager.
Right. He's, yeah.
Suddenly growing hair in places that he never had it.
So it's really difficult.
Right. Not your head, but, you know.
I don't know. How does it always turn on me?
I don't know. It's ringing again.
Did he leave again?
No, he's right there. Because you're a bad guy.
Yeah, I know.
This doesn't sound right. Can you hear me?
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Okay. The drug thing, I'm amazed now with all the different scandals that have happened. You know, Bonds, Clemens, you know.
Armstrong.
You know, 23 guys or 25 guys, whatever it is.
Oh, that's different. It's Adderall.
This year. But that's, you kind of stole my thunder. I'm amazed now, even now, like how much people are still willing to accept that Adderall. Oh, well, it's Adderall.
Because they want to.
But it's not just fans. It's not just people who want to.
Oh, I think a lot of it is.
Like, I understand, like, people writing us in, and they're diehard Patriots fans, and they want to believe their guys aren't cheating and it's something different. That I get. I totally get that, and I understand that. They're just being good fans. But, like you said, Jerry Callahan just naively saying, well, it's not like high school kids are doing it. Like, I've heard people say, well, Adderall, it's not really a performance enhancer. Well, A, it's banned, okay? So it's just like anything else that's banned. You can't do it. And if you think that it's not a performance enhancer, and they think it's not a performance enhancer, then they're doing it for a reason.
Right, especially if it's banned. You could argue if it wasn't banned that it doesn't do anything, but if it's banned and they're willing to take it, even with it being banned, there's something to be had.
So
there's
either,
a gain. There's
an
advantage.
It's either covering something else up, or it is a performance enhancer.
Right.
It's got to be one of the two.
I agree.
Now, if a guy were prescribed Adderall for ADD, a player.
You can get permission.
He can get permission.
Oh, yeah.
You have to get a written, you know, doctor's.
And not just the prescription. You have to go through a process.
Right.
You can't just say, I have a prescription after you fail. Well,
yeah, because you can't get anybody to get, you know,
right.
fake that.
You have to go through the process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Heath Evans had it. Heath Evans talked about it on EEI a couple of weeks ago. He had a prescription for, I think he took Ritalin in high school and Adderall.
But I, like, as I said, I don't know anything about Adderall. Anything.
I don't know anything about drugs, period. But
I've already seen things that one of the reasons it's popular is some people take it, and for whatever the benefit is, it's out of your system the next day. You can pass a test one day after taking it. So that's any drug that they can take that gives them an advantage that's out of their system that quickly is obviously going to be a popular one.
This is an interesting email here. Nathan writes, and he wants some evaluations. And some of these guys run the gamut here in terms of their impact on the team. I thought it would be a good idea to evaluate the players from the season thus far. After all, this is when the season starts, after Thanksgiving.
That's what Bill says.
Feel free to give a letter grade and a brief description of their production or lack thereof and if they have an upside. Justin Francis.
I would give him
grade,
C.
C plus because he's been active more than I think we thought he might be.
And a huge upside.
Yeah, definitely a huge upside.
How are we grading? Are we grading on a curve?
I don't know.
Expectations don't really know. Coming into, or are we just flat out how he's played?
Oh, no, I have expectations in mind. Grade.
Because if it's expectations, I would give him a higher grade than a C plus.
Oh.
But if it's what he's actually done, I think you guys are right.
Well, but I'm just looking at it like he's an undrafted guy.
Yeah, I didn't expect him to make the team.
I didn't expect him to make the team.
Oh, but I did. See, it's funny if we did the same thing.
Once camp started,
yeah.
I thought he had a chance
but
to make the team.
But when they first signed the guy, you're thinking, okay, he's a camp body.
Rookie weekend, I decided he was making the team.
Well, I told you before sight unseen, I just looked at the description in the school, and I said he's got a shot. Defensive end, edge guy.
If we're going to take expectations, then I would downgrade his grade because he actually hasn't done as much as I thought he would.
Ah, interesting.
But that's why I'm going just with flat C.
So let's say about CC plus.
And I think he has an upside. Okay. Trevor, I think you could be talking of him in the Mike Wright, Jarvis Green, you know.
I think he has an upside.
Core guy, not a playmaker, but a guy who has a core role on the team.
Yeah. Trevor Scott.
I would give him a C as well, but for different reasons.
I'd give him a
like a C-minus maybe.
In that area, and I had no expectations, and he hasn't done anything.
Dante Hightower.
I would give him a C-minus. I had higher expectations for him. I thought he was going to be a Defensive Rookie of the Year candidate.
I didn't have that high an expectation. I thought he would be able to come in and contribute and start, which he has, and I think he's done fairly well. His production has been consistent, I think. I'll give him a B+.
Say B-minus, so I'll cut you guys right in the middle.
I'm a tough grader.
Definite upside, though.
Oh, yeah.
Alfonso Dennard.
I will give him... I'm going to give him an A for the simple fact he missed so much time and I think has done a decent job getting on the field now, unseating Arrington, making some plays. It hasn't been perfect, so it's like it's not a perfect A, but given everything involved, I think it's hard to do what he has done in terms of miss so much time and then come out and be a key contributor. So I'm going to give him an A, and yes, upside.
A big upside. I'll give him an A-minus for a lot of the same reasons. He's a guy who should have been drafted higher. They lucked out in getting him as low as they did.
This is where Eric rants about Tavon Wilson. It says, if you pretend that Wilson was a 7 and that Dennard was a 2, then it's all fine.
I wasn't even going to bring up Tavon Wilson.
I've heard you rant about it a million times before, though.
But I wasn't going to bring up Tavon Wilson at all.
Starting
in this discussion.
Moment after they drafted Tavon Wilson.
Remember how many times he ranted that for about 5 months?
Now, if Wilson's on this list, then I'll.
That was angry Eric. I like that.
Oh, Wilson's got to be coming. Is Wilson coming?
No.
But, yeah.
Wow.
But
now all of a sudden we've forgotten about Wilson.
Those same reasons,
Wilson!
Though. Dennard has become a starter. I kind of thought he would be a contributor. I thought more as a slot guy because I didn't think either Arrington or, you know, McCourty's corner positions were going to be in jeopardy at this point. But, yeah, A minus.
We are going to stick in the secondary, however, Andy, even though we're not going to do Wilson.
Gregory?
Kyle Arrington.
Oh. Ooh.
I would say A minus, by the way, for Dennard. I'm trying to give my grades as well.
Kyle Arrington, you'd have to go low. D. Hasn't had a good year. I'm not sure he has an upside. I've said that for a while now, and I think they've said that with the way they've kind of handled his situation and trying to replace him. But then again, he's like the bad horror movie guy that just won't go away. Every time they try to get rid of him, he still comes back and helps him.
And probably had his best game of the year last game
after
it seemed he was on the precipice of being benched.
Mm. And because he keeps finding a way to come back and contribute somehow, I'll give him a C-. I don't want to go as far as a D.
I think of his lack of an upside gives him an upside, if that makes any sense at all.
Devin McCourty.
Was last year an F? Was that the baseline?
I'd say
an F for me. I'm a tough grader, though.
I am going to give him a C+.
C+ is good for me.
I'm in that range. Might even be, C+. I'm going with C+. And upside, I have no idea. Mm. With him, I can't
upside
even pretend.
At cornerback, I would say no. Now, if he can develop into a safety, I haven't seen it, but if he develops into a safety, I'll say there's upside there.
I think we'll make it a unanimous C+.
Well, based on what we've seen, the first year, the second year, and then now, he's got both an upside and a downside. I would argue upside was his rookie year, downside was last year, and now he's in the middle, so he has both moving forward.
And I think Paul's right. He might have an upside as a safety.
Maybe.
If they keep him there, that might be where he's better suited.
Sure.
And the Globe has told us that's what they want him all along.
For months.
Patrick Chung. Only one more after
this.
It's
going to be a tough grade.
I think you got to go D. Hasn't done anything, hasn't stayed on the field. D.
Lost his
upside disappearing as well.
Yeah, no upside anymore.
He might have 5 games left as a Patriot.
Well, you like the year 5 jump.
But he might not be here.
Well, it doesn't mean a guy doesn't have upside just because it's not
now,
here.
Now, here's the thing. In true Patriots fashion, it might end up benefiting them. No one's going to want him, and they can keep him for nothing, and all of a sudden they have a guy who started for him, you know, off and on over the last 3 years.
Yeah, but just because you start doesn't mean you're good. Kyle Arrington, Ellis Hobbs.
He's been all right, though.
Show me the impact plays.
I agree with you guys this year, D. Last one, Brandon Lloyd.
Oh, F.
Yeah, D-.
I continue to say,
I timed out.
Said this early, Paul, if they had treated Chad Ochocinco like they've treated Brandon Lloyd, I think he would have had similar production. They bent over backwards to force the ball to Lloyd and make him a part of this offense. And, you know, it's not just me. Everybody, you know, these expatriates, Rodney Harris, these analysts, everybody says the same thing. Utter disappointment, hasn't contributed the way they want him to. Now even, you know, like Tom Curran, who was his biggest fan in the media, is saying, you know, how much he avoids contact, hates contact, goes down too easy. Yeah. I haven't seen anything to impress me other than the impressive catches.
Which, he's had a few impressive catches.
But
individually,
it's like, what he's done his whole career. You see those highlights and go, wow, Brandon Lloyd made a catch this week that you just can't believe. And then other than that one year in Denver,
and then
he's
you
never lived up to that.
And you really have to look at his resume and say, if he's that good, has he been able to leave all of these teams?
Right, because he's not. He's a facade. He's a mirage. He's a mirage. That's what he is. He's a mirage in the desert. Everyone's thirsty for a deep threat and a receiver, and you see one on the horizon who isn't really there.
I have a hard time arguing. I wouldn't say he was an F, but...
D minus.
I might be a little biased.
He hasn't given...
I think all three of us might be a little biased.
He hasn't given much. I'll give him a gentleman's C, but...
a C?
Yeah.
Ugh, I wish I had you in school.
Well, you did. You went to Tufts. They don't flunk you there.
No. Tufts is where you earn them. Harvard is where you don't. You ever hear the Harvard A?
Yeah,
it's very common.
They got it from Tufts.
No, it's a Harvard A. It's not a Tufts A.
Larry in Miami. How tough was it to get an A at Miami?
Yeah, it was pretty good. It's pretty good over here. What's going on?
What's up?
Nothing, man. It was just an awesome win, but I just wanted to chime in on that. And, Andy, you're the only one who can pull that off. The only upside is the lack of an upside. That's only you can pull that off, Andy.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
The only upside is the lack of an upside.
Well, that's – everybody thinks Arrington has no upside, and therefore he has an upside. I mean, the guy keeps – won't go away. I know it makes no sense, but in my stupid mind, it makes sense.
It makes sense, right?
I mean, because his expectations are so – form are so low.
Everybody assumes the arrow is always a down, but it's kind of an up.
Or sideways, maybe?
Maybe. And it could be one in one direction and one in the other.
Northwest?
Yeah.
Southeast?
Yeah, but you know, those wind directions. South by southeast.
I was calling because, you know, since we have, you know, our defensive end getting a little thin right now, that Jason Babin is on the market. Hopefully he's still on the market. That would the Patriots take a look at him?
Well, here's the thing, and Paul and I were talking about this earlier today.
Okay.
Babin, maybe it wasn't you then. Babin kind of reminds me, in a way, of Lloyd, a guy who seemingly productive wherever he's been, but he's been a lot of places in a short time.
He has been at
and
a lot of places.
It makes you wonder why.
But I'd argue he's more productive than Lloyd.
Yeah, he has been.
He has been, but if he's that productive,
but he's
why
been on
is
like
he
five
available?
Teams, including Philadelphia twice.
He's a dink.
Well, then shouldn't that be kind of a red flag?
I don't know. We signed Lloyd.
And yeah, you just said it was an F. So you want to do it again?
We didn't need Lloyd as much as we need Babin.
So you'd be willing to put up with it for him?
I don't know his issues. I think there's even more reading into the Babin thing than with Lloyd. I think the Lloyd was more easy to see and more documented. He was less productive and moved around for good reason more often, whereas Babin is more productive. I don't know. I would look into it. Now, maybe I'd look into it, and once I started digging, hey, Andy, it's Bill. Yeah. No, I don't want to make a trade. I don't want to just swap picks for no reason. I was just wondering what you thought of Babin. You make that phone call.
Yeah, because I'm not feeling too comfortable with Travis Scott on the end because, like Paul said, he's a safety.
No, that's Fred. Fred calls him a safety.
Oh, Fred. I'm sorry, Paul. But, yeah, because I don't think he can, you know, contain the edge like that, and you know, playoff push is about, you know, it's here, so we need some bodies there, you know, even if he's a rotational guy, at least we have some bodies.
I hear you. Unless there's a major red flag, I would look into it. I would bring him in. I think they need some bodies and talent.
Absolutely.
There doesn't mean they will. We'll find out later. Maybe somebody will claim them and it'll never even get to them, but I definitely would be sniffing around that.
Yeah, because we really need that, because you know, playoffs is coming, and you know how our offense do, you know. They ain't going to score 30 points unless they play in Denver with Tebow on it, but in the playoffs. But they're not going to score that much points in the playoffs. So we need some consistent pass rush. Even though we got, you know, our secondary been doing better, and, you know, our turnover margin is, you know, awesome. But at the same time, we play really good teams in the playoff game when, you know, one will go home. You know, I'm not comfortable with that defense.
You're preaching to the choir, brother.
I hear you, Larry. Thanks for calling.
I mean, and the other thing is, I know, like, we even, you know, every time somebody's released, we start getting the emails and the call, you know, and the reaction is, what do we want? Everybody that. But this one makes sense, and it comes on the heels of everybody wanted a corner, and Bill went out and got a corner. Everybody would like to see a pass rusher. There's no saying Bill won't go out and get the pass rusher.
And it's like, you know, we always say it's a case-by-case thing.
Sure.
You know, the two examples that you just brought up, you had a chance to get a talented corner. He became available. You had a chance to get a talented pass rusher, and one became available.
And one became available you didn't. Ray Edwards.
It's not
he didn't
like,
fit. There wasn't a good reason to go there, but
it's
there's
not
better
like,
reason with Babin.
You know, every wide receiver that gets cut is always, you know, should the Patriots pick him up? You know, well, they don't really need another wide receiver.
Now, a tight end they could use.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's every guy that gets released is automatically a candidate to come to New England.
Right.
But
well,
not
everyone.
Not
I even got an email yesterday. With Gronk going down, will the Patriots re-sign Kellen Winslow? I just replied, no.
No.
Somebody said that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, someone, that was an SPFW question. Steven in Oregon, glad to hear Edelman's back at practice. He seems to be becoming a more important part of the offense. He has a concern, though. I don't know if you guys have seen this, so get your thoughts. However, he seems to be too cocky at times during the game, and when he does that, he seems to get hurt. Does Bill tell him to tone it down, or should he let Edelman be Edelman? But to me, it hurts the team. What do you guys think?
I don't think he's gotten hurt because he's cocky.
Do you think he's cocky at times during the game?
Yes, he's one of the cockiest MFers I've ever met in my life.
But I don't think that has anything to do with his getting hurt.
No, right. And I think you have to let him be cocky. Playmaker's going to make plays. You got to let him be a playmaker.
I think what the emailer might be referencing is when he got hurt in Baltimore, celebrating.
Maybe.
That might be one instance where his celebration
never
cost
actually
him something. But we
definitively stated that he got hurt celebrating.
Well, right? I brought that up to him when the first time he talked coming back from that, and I said, so what happened when you got hurt celebrating your touchdown? And he didn't deny that that's when he got hurt. So
because there was some belief it came on the hit, right? He took an Ed Reed hit.
Yeah, but he didn't. Like, he went, after that touchdown, he went right to the sideline and immediately
found but that doesn't mean anything to Paul.
No, but
because Gronk went right to the sideline, and Paul thinks he heard it about, like, three series earlier.
Do you think it's realistic? I'm asking you a question.
He tossed the grenade right back at
you. A question.
Yeah, it hadn't gone off yet, so I lobbed it back to you.
Oh, no, I wasn't lying. I was tossing you a softball. That was a softball.
For those who can't see at home,
I
don't know what's a softball and what's a grenade.
No, but what I was asking about the situation with Edelman, do you think it's realistic that he spiked the ball so hard that he had to miss the next four games or whatever amount of games it was? Or do you think it's probably more likely that he got hit, hurt his thumb or whatever it was, and then when he spiked it, sort of
made
dislocated
it
in some way or something
possibly.
That caused, you know.
It's possible.
So Bolt could be right. He got hurt celebrating the touchdown, but
he also could have gotten hurt, like, you know, slapping helmets with a teammate.
Anything.
Something.
Anything.
Sure.
Could have been anything.
But he didn't deny to me when I brought that up that's
when he
got
hurt. Listening.
No, he was listening.
But I think those types of people, especially the lower level ones. I mean, this guy's a college quarterback who had the ball in his hands at all times, very productive athlete. I think you have to let them be an athlete, and part of that is if he's not cocky at 5'10" and 108, well, then he shouldn't be on the. You know what I mean? You that cockiness is what allows him to run toward big, fast, strong players and have the ability and belief that I'm going to beat him. You have to have that. Otherwise, you'd be scared and, you know, oh my God, I don't know if I can beat him.
Now, I don't notice this perceived cockiness when he's just running routes and catching passes. I notice it when he scores. But a lot of players do that when they score.
Well, he has a little bit of it after plays. And, you
just
know,
his
the
walk? The, you mean the way he walks
and
stuff?
Catch everything. Oh, certainly the way he walks. I mean, he's got a cock of the walk kind of walk to him. But, like, even when he. Was it last week, the week before, he caught a punt running out of bounds? And he, big F-bomb into the. I said, "Fah!" I didn't say.
Okay.
Like, he has an air about him of cockiness on a lot of plays, after catches sometimes. I mean,
this is the guy. Remember when we did the rookie write-ups for the paper? Believe he went, and his freshman year at Kent State, went up to the incumbent starter and said, "I'm taking your job."
Yeah. And as I've said, there's a fine line between confident and dick. And he loves dicks.
Brooklyn Matt says, what's the dealio about Eric being on the show a lot this week? You guys are way lucky. The more Scalavino I get, the better life is. The more Eric bang for my buck, the more quality.
You wish you could bang Eric with a buck.
Quality in progress gets. You two one-trick ponies should count your blessings being able to work with such a refined Renaissance man. which you have up there in the guise of Eric.
He is in all those words in there, guise. Like, that's all I think about is guise.
I want
it's always on his mind
to be all Eric all the time.
It's
rock
so
around the clock, Scalavino.
I mean, he makes you look like the man's man of all men's men, like
yeah,
the Stetson
no can,
man, or like you're John Wayne compared to that
but
guy.
But no one can make Andy look like Andy looks right now, like Brooklyn Matt does.
That's true.
Alvin is in Texas, wants to talk about Ray Lewis.
Chipmunks.
Alvin.
Hey, what's up, Papa? Is this Paparino?
That's right. The one and only.
I love it. You're my favorite one, anyways.
Oh, get off
All
the
right,
radio.
Thanks for the
You're
call, loser. You're an astute caller, Alvin.
Nah, see you later.
No,
thanks for calling.
I got a question.
That's too bad.
How come Ray Lewis is coming back if he's supposedly he was in the injury thing, the IR?
IR designated for return. It's a new rule that came on this year. You can bring one guy back.
Same way we got Vicente Shanko back.
Yeah, you can designate one guy. He has to sit out 8 weeks in order to do that.
Well, is Julian Edelman is he gonna be injured for this game or
he was on the practice field today? So
he did practice today, according to Eric, who was out on the practice field.
My guess is he'll be listed as limited, questionable by the end of the week. Probably.
Oh, thank God! I was really shocked when he got injured, and like I don't know how come they did that stupid little running play. You know the.
Well, he could have gotten hurt on a pass play too. I mean,
football players play football.
No.
Alvin, I think you're right to wonder. I think you're doing a great job on this call. What else you got?
What else I got? The thing is that, I mean, I'm glad we got Shenko and we got Hernandez back, which that was the greatest thing. That was actually good about it. And, like, this is my first time. I mean, my PSW Facebook fans have been telling me, Alvin, try to call PSW. Talk to those guys.
Nice.
They want to hear you in the air.
By any chance, are you friends with Brandon in California?
Want to get high?
I have a question drug-related for you. Where in Texas do you live?
Nannenberg, the valley. This is like, I mean, I've been hearing your show for a long time. There was a guy named Catali or something like that.
Yeah, we don't talk about him anymore. Let's move on.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Do you see a lot of steroids in Texas?
Yeah, we see weed, we see cocaine.
we're talking about steroids.
No, but in particular, do you, like, I mean, I don't know if you go to a local gym, but you see a lot of roid heads walking around. Is there a lot of steroids passed through Texas?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so. Through Houston, too.
I thought so.
and then you got a fat cheek. Listening to the 98.5, they were saying about how much steroids they've been taking. And the thing that's really funny is that I think that Texans are going to lose. You know why? Because we got Brady, and Brady throws the ball, and the Texans haven't played with nobody that has a quarterback besides Aaron Rodgers. But Aaron Rodgers, like, who's nobody? He's a nobody.
I hear you. He's a nobody. He's got that discount double check, that stupid move.
No, it's because the thing is, they only depend on Aaron Rodgers. And on Brady, everybody's a team player over there at New England.
That's right. Rodgers, he's all about him. Like, when was the last elite quarterback that had his own touchdown dance?
I have no idea.
There wasn't one.
Yeah,
Rodgers has been a douche. I've told you that for years now.
That's
why Cam Newton will never be nothing. That Superman thing, that's not the kind of act a quarterback does.
When I saw the Giants in the Packers game, man,
Brady does.
I was like so shocked. I thought he was going to make it a good game, and they didn't make it a good game. And the one with Detroit versus the Lions versus the Texans. It was high robbery. How come that referee?
3 minutes and 26 seconds.
Well, they screwed that play up on a lot of levels, but you'll see that change moving forward. But the Patriots certainly got screwed as part of that play, as well as the Lions.
Alvin,
by 2 weeks, is it going to be cold weather? Is it going to be really cold?
It's already really cold.
It's already freaking freezing. I made the mistake of not bringing out the winter jacket today.
I got to make the transition too.
You're lucky down in Texas. You got warm weather and cocaine. What else you need?
Alvin, thanks for the call. Stay away from those drugs, son.
Yep.
Stay away from those drugs.
It really escalated. I'm asking about steroids. We got everything.
We got weed, cocaine.
From now on, stay
you
away from those
get
drugs.
But he's a nice man.
Oh, man.
You're right. He is on drugs, though, if he likes Paul.
Yeah. I was close to blowing
him up. How many different topics did he address in one sentence?
I don't know why you have to be like that.
And then he started recapping. I mean, we got that Giants and Packers, and then that Lions.
You want to get high?
Sam
I loved the call, Alex, sir. What was his name?
Alvin. This morning during Belichick's press conference, Bill referred to about half of the Dolphins players like he knew each of them personally, rattling off their names and characteristics easily Is this impressive or expected?
Expected.
He does it pretty much every week. There are times, very rare, where he struggles to remember the guy's name at a certain position.
And he'll say a number.
And he'll throw a number.
Right.
But that's rare. That's a rarity. He knows this league inside and out. He knows the personnel. Yeah.
I mean, he has both a pro personnel department that gives him scouting reports and a college personnel department. I mean, how often does he go back to, well, 3 years ago when he was coming out, I remember X, Y, and Z.
Right.
I mean, we do that to a lesser degree. I mean, how often do we say, oh, I liked him coming out of school. He was the kid that he made all those big plays. He was tall, that lower left. Like, we have, I'm not comparing ourselves to it, but these little things stick in your head, and he obviously spends a lot more time at it.
Sam's last question, if you were to have dinner with Bill, would you feel nervous all the time like he would just give you the death stare in response to some question, or would you welcome the opportunity?
We've had that opportunity.
And I felt nervous. And
on the West Coast.
I was afraid of getting the death stare.
Several years ago.
I wouldn't want to have dinner with
Bill. No. The dinner that we did have with him that Eric is referring to was...
We're the only ones who ate, first of all.
Yeah, it was a lot of...
Would you want to have dinner one-on-one with Bill Belichick?
Hell no.
Talk about softballs I lobbed up.
Yeah, I don't think I would be quite that adamant, but it's not something that would be on my bucket list.
And, I mean, because it would be awkward.
And that's why. And he knows, like, what we're doing and what we do for a living.
And we know what he does.
It's not a comfortable exchange. If you could somehow say he's going to treat you like an equal.
But I'd also have to make myself treat him like
an equal.
Not the head coach or just the guy I'm having dinner with.
Both ways.
Hey, what do you do for work? Oh, how's it? Now, a lot of hours, right? Like,
I would love to see.
Neither of us can take ourselves out of our current lives and make it.
That's what makes it impossible. You would always have that nervous feeling.
And he gives you that look.
I would love to sit and talk to Bill and, you know, over lunch or something and have him just talk about football, talk about personnel. I'd love to hear about what he really thinks of the other teams, what he thinks of other coaches. Don't you find that interesting?
Mexican.
Oh man, that was the dinner.
Yeah. No, I know.
That was the dinner that he had wanted no part of.
Empanadas, really?
I would love to listen to Bill tell us what he really thinks about
us.
Anything.
Anything. That would be my favorite.
About the league.
What do you really think about that Rappaport guy?
I think we already know.
About the league in general.
What do you think about Perillo?
No, I don't want to hear about that. I think he told me that in 2003.
Anyway, it's been a long time.
John Rook is in the house.
You think he holds
and
grudges?
He's preparing to take over the reins.
He's all dressed in black.
Step inside the playbook. No Fred Kirsch. And I'm struggling.
What happened to
two
that?
Hours.
He died.
2 hours of reading and listening. And no tomfoolery for me.
No tomfoolery?
Yeah, no tomfoolery makes Paul unhappy.
We need a little tomfoolery in our lives.
I'll tell you, there was a lot of participation today. A lot of people want Jason Babin in town, John.
Well, I can understand why, perhaps. Just based on last year alone anyway, right?
Certainly. Or this year. That's what I said to Paul. You know, people downplay. It's a huge drop-off from last year, but he has 5.5 sacks. On this team, that would be right neck and neck with your leading pass rusher.
With your leading pass rusher.
Ninkovich and Jones have 6.
So have we debated the merits? Is there a downside to any of this?
Eric brought up his Brandon Lloyd-like resume, which includes a lot of stops in a short period of time, and that makes you say...
Things that make you go,
What's going on there? Is he a dink?
About 5 or 6 teams.
But when have the Patriots lately, shied away from character issues?
Yeah, dink city. Yeah, I agree. And that's why I said, much like Aqib Talib, Bill Belichick said, I need a corner. He went out and got a corner.
Right.
If he...
Now you need an end. Let's go out and get
him. Go get him, right.
And if he, of course, is available.
And I would even say I have no problem claiming him. To me, it's a lot of money because, yes, you prorate it over a season. That's really like a $5 million contract.
Right.
But do I need him? Am I trying to win a championship? Do I have the cap room? If I say yes, yes, and yes, then I claim
him.
Right, you claim him.
Do you?
I don't try to save $300,000 or something.
Well, you think the self worth is of trying to get him through on waivers? Is that not going to happen? In other words, clear waivers and then signing.
But now you're competing. He gets to go where he wants. There's too many more obstacles. If I want him, and I think he helps me, I claim him.
You
want
to go get him now, right?
Be aggressive, like Bill was. I think he might have overpaid for Aqib Talib, but he said, I need a corner. There's a first-round starting caliber corner playmaker available. I'm going to get him. I'm not saying, well, really, he's only worth of this or that. I went and got him.
Right.
So go get this guy.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree at all.
Wow.
Can't believe I said that, but I don't disagree at all.
Oh, what's that, a shot at me and my logic?
No, not
I see how it is.
Not at all.
Was it Jerry Glanville over here?
And
you leave your tickets outside for Elvis as well?
Is that where you're going with that, John?
What's that?
A shot at Andy and his big head?
No,
it's a shot at Andy, just in general. It was a shot at Andy.
Oh, okay.
And his illogical argument. arguments and rants.
Paul brought up the big head part.
What else you got on the playbook?
Russell Baxter will join us at 3 o'clock. Since tomorrow, I'll be on the road doing an alleged Big East championship football game.
Is there such a thing as the Big East
alleged
anymore?
In name only.
How long before the Catholics break off and make their own basketball conference?
You know, that's a great question nobody knows the answer to. I would suggest
Fordham,
to you that
BC.
Yeah, Boredom. No, really, what will end up happening is that all of the other once the television contract is done, and it should be done. Problem is, it can't get done because teams keep jumping off the ship, so the value keeps sinking a little bit. Once that can finally get done and they can figure out what it's worth, the basketball schools then have a decision to make. Are we better off for the long haul staying tied to the football schools that are left, or do we get out and break our own thing? Now, mm-hmm. The problem with that is that right now, financially, because television demands football content and basketball is a throw-in, right now the answer to that is yes, they're still better off with the football schools, no matter what those football schools are in the Big East.
All right, it's a dumb question. Who's in the championship?
Rutgers-Louisville.
Okay. Well, it's a de facto championship, right?
Yes. Yes, because the winner is going to get the BCS berth.
It's a regular season game.
Yes, a regular season game, but it ends up being for the championship and the BCS berth.
And I promise.
And a team that's heading to the ACC.
And a team against a team that's going to the Big Ten.
Going to the Big Ten, yeah.
Louisville, aren't they going to the ACC?
Louisville's
today.
Going to the ACC, and Rutgers is going
today.
To the Big Ten.
Rutgers is going to the Big Ten. Right. Mm-hmm.
But I promise John will talk about Jason Babin and other Patriots-related
I'm not promising he's not going to keep talking like that.
of interest. So stay tuned for the playbook. We'll be back tomorrow. Hopefully Fred will be back in the pilot's chair. We'll have our picks on Thursday as well. We'll see you later.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.